This is Horace the Avenger. You're listening to White Rabbit Radio, and this is another Follow the White Rabbit. And in the following MP3, I'm going to go over some things. This is a Bugzer special, and anyone else that wants to listen, about the model we're using, I'm using at least, what you need to know, what you don't need to know, what's going on out there. We're going to talk about the questions you're going to get asked and my concern about the Jews. It's not what you think. A lot of times online you end up talking past people and everything else like that when you're posting comments, especially on somewhere like WhitakerOnline.org, you don't exactly know the context. We're also going to talk about Truck Roy and Jimmy Marr because they have a lot in common. Entertainers, Beefcake is another one of these. Entertainment-type personalities that can go on a show and talk for an hour like Truck Roy does on Stormfront Radio. They have to talk about all different types of topics, then they have to come back to message or seed memes when it's time to do so. It's a rare talent, and it takes a while to cultivate that because they're not just coming on message. They're coming on a message and learning to use it within the confines of their talent, and their talent is considerable. If you can get out there and play the bagpipes and put up this and talk to reporters and everything else like that, it takes a lot of talent. But all the complaints I've heard about Jimmy Marr, exactly, I heard far worse about Truck Roy, far worse about some others. Some of our most talented Bugsters are also entertainment-type personalities. They can talk for hours on end, and we've butterflies out of bullshit to talk about women's dress sizes, then come back to talk about white genocide. You have to have those personalities like there, but they take a while to cultivate because they're not learning a consistent message in a standard way. They're not learning it like maybe HD, the famous HD, has learned it. They go through a different learning process. They're not the same analytical type minds. They're a little more creative. And I've been through this from the beginning. Also, all this stuff about hijacking the mantra. Let me explain to you this. Since the beginning, I had the most active email. When someone had a problem, they emailed me. They didn't email anyone else because they couldn't get a hold of anyone else at WhitakerOnline.org, or they would PM me over at Stormfront, Follow the White Rabbit. This goes back years, since day one, 2009, especially 2010. There's always been those that worry about something being hijacked or this or that, or someone going off message or blowing an opportunity. I have probably 60-plus private messages, and maybe that many more emails about this type of thing. Various different parties messing something up, using our message, that type of thing. The thing you need to understand is that activists do not have any longevity. I don't worry about them because they ain't going to be around long enough. For an activist to have longevity, you have to be like a radio personality that takes your politics seriously, which is the ultimate asset because they're the ultimate activist. You have to be a congressional staffer who really takes politics seriously. Not all congressional staffers take their politics seriously as Bob. Have some type of media startup company that puts out animation that all media companies are political, and all media companies generally take their politics seriously. Our politics are a little bit differently, of course, and the memes we're seeding are differently. But we're going to talk about all this, and I'm going to talk about what you need to know, the questions you're going to be asked about Robert Whitaker, because none of you guys have been asked the questions. Bob has never been asked this question. These questions will never be asked of Bob. He'll get around them. They're going to ask you direct questions regarding some of Bob's statements regarding the Jews. And sometimes you can get around them. Sometimes you're going to have to walk through fire. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because I faced it. You haven't yet. I'm the one that's gotten the calls. I'm the one that's played around with by some of these different groups. Some of them have went on to, well, actually none of them have later went on to call Bob, to my knowledge. But these are things you need to know about. And we're not at the bottom of any of their lists. We're at the top of their list. I know this for a fact. Well, we're going to talk about some different things, and these are things you need to hear about, at least from my perspective. And I've been here a long, long time playing with the mantra, and learning how to use it. And I'm going to state this again. Different personality types learn to use a consistent message differently. Once Jimmy Marr learns to use a consistent message, he'll be able to learn, if you can use the mantra in confines of an entertainment personality, if an entertainment personality like Truck Roy can use the mantra, and he can, come back on message, he can use any message thereon in indefinitely. It's a very rare talent, but it cultivates a little bit differently. Throwing chairs at him and stuff like that is just, you know, doesn't work. we'll get on with this show. And this show goes left to right. It's one of those classic Follow the White Rabbits. The difference between this one and most others is I actually have notes. I don't have any other notes for any other Follow the White Rabbits. So some of this stuff is important for you to understand. Because I'm never going to get asked these questions again. Some of you guys are going to get hammered, and some of you are going to get fooled. Not on questions regarding, they know what you can answer and what you can't answer. You pretty much disclose that. But what you need to know about Bob is the enemy doesn't consider Bob. They consider Bob one thing and one thing only. And we're going to go into it. On this particular show, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to do a back and fill. I'm going to talk about what I talked about at the last Stormfront conference, something very important to understand the model yours truly uses and where we're at now in that model. Because the mayhem's starting to break out, which the model predicts. And the model is simply this. Let's go back into Samizdat. In Samizdat, the anonymous model that exposed the Soviet Union for what it was, a colossal scam, and brought the whole thing tumbling down. They did something interesting. They did it without firing a shot. But there was a critical point in the story that most people miss. In any type of society, there is a class, and the name of the class is always largely argued over. But they're a class of people. In Western civilization, they're by and large all white. And we will call them the management class. Why do I call them the management class? Are they white collar horse? No, they're not all white collar, but some of them are. Are they blue collar? No, they're not all blue collar, but many of them could be. The management class is a class of people that manage to get everything done. If you're going into your local grocery store, and everyone listening to this will go into the local grocery store, I'm guessing in the next week, because you like to eat. And in the local grocery store, there's going to be a handful of people you notice, if you go to the same grocery store over a period of time, that really get things done. It's only a handful that ever get anything done. Now, the number isn't as low as 10% or 5%. It's actually up there probably around 20%. That may, in other words, 20% of this of the population in the Soviet Union, or some would argue less. You could argue over numbers. But the management class is the class that actually gets things done. If they don't show up at the grocery store, if this handful of people don't show up for the week, the place is a disaster. If they don't show up at the office, if you're at an office, there's going to be a handful there, maybe even one or two that make the whole place go. If something needs to be done, they just do it. Again, the management class gets things done. If they don't show up, the whole place is a disaster. Hopefully every one of you gets the concept. Everyone at the grocery store, all the little baggers and whatnot, they might all be critical on any given hour, but there's only a handful that if they don't show up, that place is doomed for the next week. You get the picture. In the Soviet Union, it was the same thing. Because human nature is human nature. There's a management class. There's a class that managed to get things done, and these management class actually held the whole thing up. You'd go into a bread co-op. There was a handful that would actually make everything run. Why did they make everything run? Because no one told them otherwise. Well, Samizdat totally undermined this class. They totally undermined this class of people. One morning, the Politburo got up. They blew the whistles. They rang the bells. They turned the dials. They hit the switches, and the management class just all left. They said, screw you. You know, we're in a worker's paradise, and if we try to leave, you murder us. Well, it's obviously not a worker's paradise. It's a colossal scam. We're not getting anything done for you anymore. And the whole place went down the hill very quickly. The management class is a class of people that if they have it in for a particular group or the elites or anything like that, that country is gonna come to a stalemate pretty quickly. The management class is, of course, yours truly's target audience. Because if you can interject a meme or concept or ideal, so on and so forth, especially memes, let's just keep it simple in the memes, into the management class, you can change everything on a dime very quickly. Now, what does that have to do with yours truly, the White Rabbit Radio model for alternative news? Well, let's go over that. We have an interesting situation in late 20th century, early 21st century Western civilization. We have elites like Al Gore, Everyone have heard Al Gore. And Al Gore had this deal called global warming. Talked about it nonstop. You all heard about global warming. At the Stormfront conference, I asked how many of them heard about global warming. They all raised their hand. I asked how many people could explain global warming. Out of, I'm going to say it was 100, and I'm just using a round number. It may have been less, may have been a little more. I don't recall. Only one raised her hand that she could explain global warming. And then I asked how many people have heard global warming is a hoax. Every single one of them raised their hand. There's a little ugly meme out there called global warming is a hoax. Al Gore doesn't talk about global warming anymore. He talks about climate change. Only the bugsers listening would ask why. Well, the reason they were burnt by a meme. You see, climate change, the climate change stuff had all the money. They had all the academics. They had all the power in the world. But they didn't control the message. And it's very complicated. If you ever heard these guys drone on about climate change, my goodness, it's complicated stuff. On and on they go. It's too complicated. Every time they got complicated, they were hit with a meme, global warming is a hoax. Now, global warming is a hoax is a meme that goes back to the 80s. It goes back to the time when Robert Whitaker was in Washington. It was an attempt to be seated by a group among conservatives. It did not work for a variety of reasons. But global warming is a hoax was a meme, again, reseated into alt news. And success leaves clues. They seeded it from the top down. Various different alt news organizations. Now, what is alt news, Horace? Alt news is what all pro-white media is. They just don't like being called alt news. Alt news is Rents.com. Alt news is Red Ice Creations. Alt news is InfoWars. Alt news are all a variety of different websites. WhitakerOnline.org would be considered alt news. I mean, if you go into a PR firm, yours truly has actually done this, and you talk to them about buying advertising or selling advertising for your site, and you're pro-white, they're going to immediately classify you in alt news. You mean you're classified with the UFO guys over at Rents? Yeah. That's why David Duke's on there. That's why they're a natural audience. The thing that you need to understand about all these alt news websites is every major news organization now is being filtered down through them. What do I mean by them? When the management class in America, that core group, 15%, 20%, whatever you want to argue, the class that manages to get things done is looking at the local news, we know that they're no longer believing what they see. They're now turning to the internet. So they're turning to the internet and they're filtering that news through alternative versions. RT.com, Russia Today, is appealing to this group. Yours truly has exclusively appealed to this group. Now, under our particular model for global warming as a hoax, how did they see this? They seeded it from the top down. They got various different activists, very famous writers, to write about global warming as a hoax. That's what they did. Very simple. And voila, global warming is a hoax. Al Gore talks about climate change now. They were burned by a meme, but no one likes to talk about this. This is the model I've been using. It just so happens that white genocide is the largest conspiracy ever attempted and the worst run conspiracy ever. What is a conspiracy? In America, a conspiracy is two or more rabbits getting together to conspire against something. It's no mystery. America was founded on a conspiracy. The founding fathers thought the King of England was conspiring against them. And he was. Yes. Believe it or not, America is not the biggest purveyor of conspiracy. In other words, the big conspiracy writers don't sell the most books in America. France would be number one and Russia would come in behind. America's on down the list. But America, this media, because of free speech and whatnot, has really gotten going. Now, alt news is divided in two categories. Pro-white categories are on in the far right simply because, I mean, they're off in the corner simply because we don't make money. I mean, White Rat Radio is a business, but by and large, we don't make the big money. With that being said, some of the others make a fortune on advertising and whatnot. As well as selling memberships or selling digital media like Red Ice Creations. With that being said, there are two types of alt news types, with exception of pro-whites. We'll leave pro-white alt news. There are those alt news sites that will talk about racial issue, and they may talk about Zionism or the Jews, and those that won't. There are those that believe in free speech, in other words, and those that don't believe in free speech. The first big one that crossed the line, the DMZ, was Rents.com, and the fight was outrageous. It was outrageous. He lost all his advertisers to Alex Jones, and it was a big fight. Now, of course, our enemy knows about this. Our enemy's well-established in certain websites. And you all know who I'm talking about. And the reason they're well established, the way they're established is not the way you think. The way they're established is that they gave him a great deal of advertising. And that, of course, established you very, very quickly. If you give all, you want a bunch of advertising money to a magazine, you're probably going to be able to manipulate content or what doesn't get talked about. All media sites and alt news or all media sites are political. All media, period, is political. It's just whether or not you take your politics seriously, or how seriously you take your politics. You would think everyone in Washington takes their politics seriously. No. They don't all take their politics seriously like Bob Whitaker takes his politics seriously. You won't see all of them on certain messages at certain times or anything like that. Now, in alt news, with the global warming is a hoax thing, to come back to it, now, when it comes down to the books, the funny thing about it, if you were to explain global warming, Bob Whitaker, or, well, I'll just say me, I would say it's a scarcity scam designed by the elites to take power for themselves and the academics. In fact, there is no scam I've seen of recent times for a bunch of academics to take a ton of power quickly other than this global warming stuff. Of course, you're not going to make a lot of money selling books saying that. That's just a simple, accurate statement. Bob Whitaker would say something probably even shorter, but he's not going to make a fortune selling books. These guys extrapolated that into all different types of conspiracies. And you would think, it's counterintuitive, that it would actually slow down the seeding of the meme. Well, it didn't. It sped it up. It was counterintuitive, but nonetheless, it was true. Sometimes the way things work is not the way things you think they'd work. But that is the model we're using. Typically, I did something radically different. I asked for activists. The global warming is a hoax, people asked for activists back in the 80s from the conservatives. It didn't work out so well. So they didn't do that. They just seeded it from the top down. In other words, they seeded the meme very similar to Fox News and the neocon seed memes. You know, Israel's the greatest democracy in the Middle East is one I hear all the time these days. Or Israel's our only ally in the Middle East. These are memes seeded from the top down, Fox News, neocons. You get the picture. So this particular model has worked for yours truly, and Bob doesn't, I don't even know that, I've told Bob about the model, but I don't fully think he's heard it quite like this before, but now it's working in full effect. Because now what we have happening is we have a certain group has now crossed the demilitarized zone, one of the heavy hitters, Red Ice Creations. And Red Ice Creations has a link up to, we did an interview with them called the War on Whites. Now many of you have heard this phrase, War on Whites, it became a trending hashtag. It became a trending hashtag because Mo Brooks used the term in Alabama. He said the war on whites after Lana Lochteff had titled my particular podcast with her that. Now, my particular podcast, if I would have had any title based on the model we're using, we want to seed memes from the top down. If I'm talking to that particular audience, I want to use white genocide because we have no meme competition. Even our competition isn't competition. They're still debating white genocide. But that is the particular model. Under my particular equation, I did something that I was asked to do. I asked for activists, and lo and behold, I got them. Now, no one has a model for that, but I appealed to the same group. I modified, I talked about the concepts they want to talk about in a way that I thought they could understand it, and tried to help out Bob, practical politics, the story has already been written. And on, we've got some activists. Okay, but the meme, the real model is seeding it from the top down. Now, in the Mo Brooks equation, War on Whites, most people would assume that that's accidental, or that's a coincidence. Well, the term War on Whites, I want to say, comes from a particular conversation we were having in regard to Bob Whitaker's work that probably never made it on the particular podcast. That's my particular opinion. I would prefer to call Tim Murdoch talks about white genocide. But Mo Brooks started talking about War on Whites. Now, you would assume that's a coincidence. Lana probably assumed at first it was a coincidence, too. It wasn't. It's not a coincidence. The enemy doesn't believe in coincidences or accidents. In the particular model I just gave you, anything they talk about on these particular media outlets, they're talking directly to the management class. The management class has a great deal of influence on everyone that surrounds them. That's what happened in the Soviet Union. Whatever they talk about, everyone hears. So if you kick out some type of meme that is pithy, that is worthwhile, that is relevant to what's going on in society, there's a very high likelihood of someone repeating it. No different than being on Fox News. Sounds radical, but it's true. These outlets are that big. Stormfront had a link up to White Rabbit Radio for quite some time. We got a tremendous amount of traffic from the Stormfront link. Red Ice Creations has a link up to White Rabbit Radio. We get 5 times more traffic. Now, am I saying that they're better than Stormfront? No. They're just different. They're huge. Much, much bigger than you could even imagine. And that is yours truly target audience because I want to seed the meme. The quickest way, the quickest way from point A to point B is the straightest line. Straightest line is to talk to this class of people. If this class of people is filtering their information through these sites, well, then all you have to do is say global warming is a hoax and get them talking about the conspiracy of global warming, and the meme is seeded. No different than the neocons do on Fox News. Might take a little bit longer, but it works quite well. So you get the picture. The enemy got the picture, too. Red Ice Creations, of course, has lost their Apple iTunes account, and they've jerked them down, and they went nuts. And they're going nuts in ways that you can't imagine. I know this firsthand experience. And things that I won't go into right here, I'll be going into with Bob. But they don't know whether to shit or go blind type of thing. If you're seeding memes from the top down, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. I'll be going hopefully on Red Ice again really soon, Radio 314, to talk about some of these different things. But this is very important for you guys to know. Now, what has happened since then is something extraordinary, something that I've been working for. This was the whole entire model. John Lash is the major, he's one of the major writers for a particular segment called Gnostics. He's not the type of Gnostics you think you've heard of. He's an expert in the Sophia Gaia myth and that type of thing. And he's come out talking about white genocide. Yeah, the John Lash is talking about white genocide. They're starting to cross the DMZ zone. Is it a pretty wild conversation? It's unique, yes. He's a writer. He's not an activist. He's a writer. Now, this is what Bugsers need to know. Writers write to make money. He's different than any pro-white writer. I call them unconventional pro-whites that are white guys in alt news that are going to be talking about white genocide or writing about it. He is a writer that makes money writing. He is a speaker that makes money speaking. Why he's talking about it, some are cynical and say he's doing it so he can make a lot of money. That's the best news I ever heard. Under our models, I only need him to talk about white genocide in relation to his work. I don't need him worrying about, if he comes on our message, that's fine, but very few are going to do that. They're going to talk about white genocide. Because all roads lead back to us, believe it or not. Under our models, under the model, and now we're talking about what really works, not what you think would work, it's counterintuitive, because the crazier the conversation gets, the faster it seeds the meme. Because the society right now, what builds conspiracy theories are when elites are running things in the ground. If everything's going right, there ain't a lot of conspiracy theories. Or there always is, but not as many. But if the elites are running everything in the ground, you wouldn't believe the conspiracy theories that come up. Well, people can't understand why they're doing what they're doing, so there's all different interpretations. But John Lash, the John Lash, the one that's, if you want to talk about Gnostics and you're somewhere in alt news, you've got to talk to this guy. That's the way it works. There is no one in pro-white, there are no pro-white writers that I know of that make a lot of money writing. There are very few writers on the planet, period, that make a lot of money writing, or that make any money writing. So someone that's speaking or writing that does quite well for themselves is pretty rare. And that, the fact that he's talking about white genocide is fine, but a lot of you have freaked out because he's talking about some things that are pretty far out there. It doesn't mean anything. You notice the fact that he's talking about white genocide without pretense. Without any caution whatsoever. You notice how he's not debating it. You notice how he's not going off. He's just talking about white genocide in relation to his work. That's precisely what we want under my model. Now, Bob doesn't have this model. He has pieces of it. I'm giving Bob the whole entire model so that he understands that under our model, it doesn't matter how crazy it gets. What we need the activists to do is to stay on message, to do their best, because it's going to get really, really crazy. The enemy is extremely upset. Red Ice Creations was the equivalent of a giant white bull. All media outlets are political, but one morning they decided to take their politics seriously, and they trampled down all the China shops down Anti-White Avenue. Well, if you do that, what I'm going to be talking to Lana about in the very near future, if you do that, someone's going to notice you, and they're going to be very pissed off. And that's the response they got from Apple and all these other different groups. They're very upset. Well, she takes her politics seriously. There are those that believe in free speech and those that don't. But that is the model in a nutshell. It's a significant model because you can seed memes from the top down, maybe not as fast as Fox News, but if they talk about something good. And I'm not saying Mo Brooks heard that particular interview with me. I'm not saying that at all. It might have been someone in his office. It might have been a neighbor. Sound is vibration. Sound doesn't stop carrying even when you stop speaking. Memes have a way of getting out there. My only thing about the particular podcast is I want it to be Tim Murdoch Talks About White Genocide, but I don't control that. I didn't have any input in the title. I didn't even think to have any input. She called it the War on Whites. That's her prerogative, and she got a trending hashtag, and of course, the enemy went absolutely apeshit because they don't believe in coincidences or anything along those lines. They assume if someone's seeding a meme in a major media outlet and that meme goes live and it's hurting them, they're going to get pissed off about that. They're going to respond to it. Again, it's like a giant white bull decides to get political, run down anti-white avenue and destroy every China shop. Well, someone's going to notice you. And, of course, some of the things that they've done since then, like run pieces from White Genocide Project, well, that's very significant as well. It's very rare for someone that says they're going to do something to do something. I'm always the type of guy that if you tell me you're going to do something, I assume you're going to do it. I was talking to a lady from NPR, National Public Radio, and she told me she was going to call Bob. Now, Bob makes fun of me for this. She never called Bob. If you ask for my number and you tell me you're going to call someone, I assume you're going to. I don't assume why would you ask for the number? But Bob thinks this type of thing's funny because they never call him. Well, anymore they don't call me. They ask for the numbers, but they haven't called us. They may one morning again. Who knows? But that's kind of funny. But Red Ice Creation said they were going to do something. They said they were crossing the demilitarized zone. She's pro-white, and that's just the way it is. And they're going to talk about everything they feel like talking about, free speech. They're going to talk about white genocide because it's an important concept. It's the biggest run conspiracy ever, and it's the worst run conspiracy ever. It fits for conspiracy theories, that's for sure. It's definitely two or more anti-white rabbits out there running it. It fits all the different curves. And that's going wild, and it's going to continue to go wild with some other names coming on message. Now, am I going to have some of these characters on In-Game Exotica? Absolutely. I'm going to try to. Lana will most likely be the first guest on there, and we're going to talk on the pay-per-view podcast. That's the way it is. That's the direction we're going. But it's something important for you to understand. This is what we're working for. If you ask me to seed a meme into the public, the shortest distance between two points of straight line, I was one of the first bugsers on there posting the mantra thousands and thousands of times. Does it work? Yes. It works really fast if you're seeding memes into a target audience and really hitting that target audience. Then you can really start a trajectory. I did something unique. I don't necessarily have a model for it. I asked for activists. It's the old biblical equation, ask and you shall receive. Didn't think I'd receive that many, but a handful came on, so be it. But now we are going top down. It's important for the activists to know that, and it's important for especially Bob, because Bob's going to be hearing this white genocide stuff going all over the place, which he expects, and it's going to get a little out of hand. Now, Bob, most of these guys are just writers. They are not activists. They are writers, and many of them may start taking their politics very seriously and come on message very seriously. I mean, they're very meme sophisticated. You'll notice John Lash talked about white genocide without preconditions or precautions. No pro-white. I've never seen a pro-white actually do that. It's very rare. But then again, that's probably why he makes money. Most pro-white writers would dream of his income. And that is a whole nother conversation. Now, in this particular business, what's important to understand is that typically, when you're dealing like with White Rabbit Radio, I'm a media startup. And all media companies, basically, are political. We have a pay-per-view service. I have an animation startup business as well. Well, obviously, we're doing animations. And the whole idea is eventually to turn a profit, that type of thing. That's how business works. But all media companies are political. And all media companies take their politics seriously. I had a very stupid question asked to me from a very important person. And the statement was, and they were basically interrogating yours truly about White Rabbit Radio. And these weren't pro-whites. These were our enemy. And they were saying, well, White Rabbit Radio is incredibly political for a media company. I said, all media companies are political. You're telling me Hollywood isn't political? And everyone in the room started laughing. You're telling me Hollywood doesn't take its politics seriously? You're telling me Fox News doesn't take its politics seriously? No. The only reason we're having this conversation is because you don't like my politics. I'm a media company. It's not a big media company, but it technically is. It's a media startup. That's what it is. You know, I am not this is always what I encourage activists to do, is to become a writer that basically takes politics seriously, because that's the ultimate activist. Bob Whitaker, sitting in Washington, was a staffer that took his politics probably more seriously than any other staffers, from what I hear. In other words, you know, just because they're a writer doesn't mean they take their politics seriously. Just because you have a media outlet or a giant website doesn't mean you take your politics seriously. People that take their politics seriously see memes. The neoconservatives are one group that are very visual. Their memes are running all around you right now. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Israel is our only ally in the Middle East. That didn't happen by accident. They take their politics very, very seriously. And they are not activists. You wouldn't label them as activists, but they're the ultimate activists. They are writers. They are commentators who take their politics seriously. I was laughing. Charles Krautheimer and company, all the neocons, and most of them are Jewish, but not all of them. John McCain and Lindsey Graham aren't, but they're all the neocons. You get the picture. They're doing this stuff in Syria. They're trying to get their ball going in Syria. What they're getting going, a giant war, which is what they're always trying to get going. And one of the Republican operatives at the mid-level, he works for the Republican Party, the Republican Party. It was a black fellow. Went off message. The neocons write all those messages. They control the Republican Party as far as I'm concerned, lock, talk, and two smoking barrels, at least the top of it. And they control all the messages going out, all the particular war memes, we'll call them. And this poor black fella in the middle of the Republican organization went off message. And if he weren't black, they would have actually succeeded in getting him fired. You don't go off message with them. They take politics very seriously. But that is the deal. That is how Bob Whitaker thinks, and that's how you have to think. But that is, you know, what you guys are going to come up against is writers seeding memes. Someone may be doing it to make money. Someone may be doing it for moral reasons. Maybe they're using their power and influence just to bring awareness to something. Because once you bring awareness to white genocide, it changes the whole entire equation. Our memes have no competition. They're out there bouncing around. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-whites. Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white country for everybody. That stuff is just out there. But that is what's happening. That is the model. That is the end game. Once it goes top down. Now, what I'm going to talk about to Red Ice next is what I want, is I want all the alt news to start talking about white genocide, even if you disagree with it. That's fine. You want to come out with a book about some type of evil conspiracy and why white genocide shouldn't be, as long as it's about white genocide, I'm okay. Talk about it. Let's talk about white genocide. What is the activist's job at that point? Well, based on my model, your activist's job is to steer it back to something simple, like global warming is a hoax. You know, who are we after? We're after all anti-whites. And we're going to get to that next. You know, steer it back to simplicity. Don't get too complicated. Don't try to educate. Try to steer it back to simplicity. You know, in the end, you can write your own history book on who all was behind it. But for right now, let's keep it simple. Let's try to keep it simple because it's going to get out of hand. You know, Bob Whitaker is a great fellow. I like him a lot. He's a coach, which is his hardest job. He's a writer. He's an activist. He's also an entertainer. Some people call White Rabbit Radio an entertainment company. Media companies and entertainment companies a lot of times coincide. Fox News is a media company that's also an entertainment company. I guess you could call me an entertainment company. Animations are somewhat entertaining. Most of you hopefully found at least one of my animations, our animations, I produced them, entertaining. With that being said, entertainment is very political. You know, this is another conversation I had with these big wigs. Well, cartoons aren't political. I named cartoon after cartoon. Cartoons, even the local commercials for cornflakes, are political. It's just whether or not they take their politics seriously. I take my politics very seriously. The message I'm attempting to see, the meme is white genocide. The message is based by the mantra. It's written by Bob Whitaker, and I do the best I know how at that, based on the model at hand. But this will get out of control. Try to steer it back into the simplicity. Okay, just keep it simple, especially as these guys start talking about white genocide. They are professionals. Anyone making money writing, I'm mystified by. Because I don't know anyone that makes six figures writing books. They're rare. You start talking about making big money writing books and giving talks, I'm all ears. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone that does that. So they're rare. And let's keep it simple. Let's try to keep it simple and try to steer it back to simplicity. It doesn't matter how crazy it gets. It does matter that the activists try to keep it simple. That's the only thing I can tell you. Do the best you can do. And in the next, we're going to talk about some tough things you guys are going to be asked. the tough things. Because most of you guys haven't been asked the questions I've been asked. Bob has never been asked the questions I've been asked. Bob wrote the mantra. So if they talk to Bob, typically this is the setup. In France right now, you got Marine Le Pen. Le Pen's running. It's Le Pen's daughter. It's the big Le Pen's daughter. And what they, big Le Pen has been accused of anti-Semitism, everything else. So big Le Pen's daughter, little Le Pen's running. Marine Le Pen. And what they always ask her, they give her sound bites from her father to see how she responds. In France, it's pretty easy for her to respond because it's illegal for her to say what she wants to say. That, of course, becomes easy in France. In America, you can say anything you want, which is actually good and dangerous, especially for a sound bite. We're going to go into that, and I'm going to give you guys some ideals before you, because right now, you know, some boxers are at each other's throats over this type of stuff, and it really is. It's necessary from a coaching perspective. From Bob, it's necessary. From my perspective, I'm watching all this, and there's all these good people going at it over what to say and what not to say regarding some groups. And I'm going to go into some real conversations I've had with people you don't want to have conversations with. And we're going to do that next. And this is probably the most important thing I've ever done. So to do an overview of what we just talked about, we're seeding memes into alt news. All pro-white media is alt news. They just don't like it because they're too upper class. They don't want to be classified with UFOs and all that kind of stuff. But that's the way it goes. That's big money. UFOs are now mainstream, so we're going to take white genocide mainstream and swamp that out. With that being said, the motto is quite simple. Get them talking about white genocide. It's that simple for us because we have memes well seeded. The ideal for the activists is to bring it back home and try to keep it as simple as possible, to keep reinforcing the simplicity as this conversation gets more and more crazy. Now, and before I get emails, I'm gonna say this one last time. Nothing is accidental in practical politics. When you're seeding memes, if Lana Lochteff and Red Ice Creations, a media powerhouse online, gets political, crosses the demilitarized zone, has links up to White Rabbit Radio, has running articles from White Genocide Project, and maybe even they ran one from Bob. If they go down that road, it isn't accidental. And if they say war on whites, and Mo Brooks says it in Alabama, it isn't accidental, because one precedes the other. The enemy doesn't think it's accidental. Therein lies the consequences for Apple and all these other people that are raising hell with Red Ice. And it isn't as bad as rents, but it isn't accidental. Our enemy doesn't believe it's accidental at all. I know that firsthand experience. They're pissed. They're really pissed. But that is how it should work. If you understand the model, and those of you that have listened to me from the beginning have heard me talk about this, those of you at the Stormfront Conference, I gave it to you. It's the secret sauce. The problem is getting to talk to this group and getting them to talk about it. Well, that's always a problem, isn't it? We don't have Fox News. We don't have anything else, but we do have dominant media outlets online. One, pro-white. And pro-white is alt news. So I kind of came in from an angle. It's all the only shot I had. And now, of course, we're going top down. I want all these guys, no matter how crazy, talking about white genocide, as long as it's white genocide. You know. But that is that. There are no accidents, there are no coincidences, even if there are. No one in their right mind is gonna take that seriously. They're gonna assume it was intentional. That's just the way it works. Now, in the next little phrase, we're gonna talk about some real issues for bugsers. As I see it. Now, I'm not the coach. I'm simply H. Avenger running White Rabbit Radio media startup. And I'm political. I take politics very seriously. Well, that's really the best way I find for activists to operate is to operate indirectly. If you're an activist, the problem I have with the challenge I have, the tragedy, is that some of the best bugser activists I have since the beginning, friends of mine, do not have near as much time. They will in the future because I plan on hiring them all. But barring that, or maybe some of you plan on hiring them, but barring that, they have to make a living. So activism comes after that. They don't have particular professions, or they're not starting businesses yet, where they can subsidize their income in any way, shape, manner, form to make their activism a little more explosive. In other words, they can't make it into the long run, at least not yet. You know, if you're a writer and you take your politics seriously, you're the ultimate activist, especially if you're making money. We probably will not have any of the major writers become activists like in a Bugser style, but we could. Most of them will just talk about white genocide as it relates to their work, which is what a writer, a professional writer, generally will do to seed memes. Now, Or based on importance. It might be based on moral importance. Let's not understand. This audience is 98% white. They're all white. So now, on the other hand, one of the things that about doing something indirect, let's say White Genocide Project starts taking advertising, and let's say White Genocide Project hooks up with a PR firm, and I'm going to use an example that I have nothing to do with, and starts taking targeted advertising. In other words, they're controlling what ads go up. And let's start saying they make a lot of money because of traffic. And the owner of that starts doing quite well. Well, that is how a writer becomes the ultimate activist. Because the writer, and of course White Genocide Project is another media company. It's a blog, but it's a media. It could be a media company. Now it isn't. They're not incorporated yet, but I'm just giving you an idea. And then of course they make money. And then of course he or she is subsidizing the income. And able to do a lot, be a hell of a lot more active, the people behind it. And because they are writers who, of course, take politics seriously, who are able to actually turn a profit from that. That is the best approach, and I'm giving you one example. But we got to start thinking of stuff like that. And I don't know. Typically, most of the pro-whites, the academic types in politics, would be in think tanks of some sort. We don't have any of those. So you guys are going to have to get creative. I'm asked about this type of thing all the time, but that's my biggest concern. If I had anything to help anyone with, is to create more businesses, even little businesses, to subsidize, to take you from being just activists, which is always at the expense of other things you're doing, and it is for all of us, even yours truly. I mean, White Rabbit Radio is not some media conglomerate. But be able to subsidize your activism with something creative, which would, you know, even artists. Artists aren't political. Artists are very political. It's just whether or not they take their politics seriously, you know. This type of thing. You kind of get the picture. These are things activists need to think of, because activism, typically activists burn out. They burn out not because they burn out, but they come and go based on other work schedules. So these are things to think about that will give you longevity. And we can have private conversations about that. I can give you guys different ideals that I have based on my experiences. But to get on to with the next section is going to be explosive. We're going to talk about real questions bugsters get really asked. Most of you guys are used to being asked questions online that are pretty simple. Your answers are pretty simple. You haven't come up against any real questions. I hear what I've heard from the Pile Talk. You're coming up against the standard stuff. We're going to go into some very rare non-standard stuff yours truly comes up against. You're going to come up against too. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Bob. But Bob wrote the mantra. So this is what I'm going to give you, what they're going to try to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about, because most of the people, when I talk about something, misunderstand what I'm talking about. One of the problems I hate with online is because Bob will write an article based on something he heard, and I won't know exactly what he's talking about, and I will comment, and the comment was related to something else entirely. But so basically out of context. I meant the comment, but the comment was taken out of context or extrapolated into something it wasn't. That's one of the problems we all have with things online. That is one good thing about the Pile Talk. And we'll get back to this in a minute. Typically, from what I've heard of your guys' Pile Talk, I like it. I won't be on there anytime soon because I have to work all Saturday evenings from now until who knows when. With that being said, one of the challenges with this is that you guys have never been hit with any real questions, or a handful of you have, but any hard-hitting questions from a yes or no type of questioner. And typically, when you guys are asked questions, I'm talking about real questions from the real media, gotcha type questions, and that type of thing, what they're always going to do is one of two things, because I know they do it to me, or have done it to me. They stopped. Typically, they're going to grab something, and they're not going to ask you a question about you. They're not going to ask you a question about the mantra. They're going to make a statement regarding the mantra's writer, because the mantra's written by Bob Whitaker. Ain't no way around that. So questions regarding the blog or the mantra or Bob's writing are pretty much fair game in the ears of most guests. Let's say theoretically you're on a live talk show, or someone's feeling you out for a live talk show, or you're talking to a reporter. Well, they're going to see someone that's skilled at asking questions. They're going to see how good you're good at how good you know how to dance around questions, not related to you, not related to the management, but related to Bob's credibility. It is the thing that's going on with Le Pen, as historically happened to little Le Pen, has always asked questions about her father, statements from her father. And in regarding the blog, Bob's blog, because Bob has a lot of writing to latch onto and a lot of stuff for a typical journalist, or let's say a loudmouth like Sean Hannity. You know Sean Hannity, I'm sure everyone you know him, he's on TV, he's very fast talking, kind of like someone else you know. He also has a tendency to ask yes or no answer, iron type questions. And if you ain't going to answer it, he's going to keep asking it. There is no spinning your way around it, because he's going to ask a loaded question that you don't want to answer. He knows you're going to spin your way around it, and he's going to keep asking it, making a general statement to the audience that impugns your credibility or incredibility of your cause, so on and so forth, etc. It's an old tactic, very effective. Now, most journalists, you can move off of a question you don't want to move on. Now, Bob has a tendency to do something that I don't do. I'm not going to discuss anything with you until we have free speech. I think that's very good for a European. I think it's very good when certain Europeans do that because they don't have free speech. In America, for someone like me, I tend not to do that. I tend to do something just as simple but a little bit more to my personality. I always say, what does this have to do with white genocide if I don't feel like answering it? And then I'll entertain something and say, well, you know, I'll come back and discuss so-and-so with you. Be happy to. We can do a whole entire real-time special on that, whatever you want to do. When everyone white on earth hears what we have to say on white genocide. You know, and two examples of what they're doing, and this is something pretty much unexpected by most of you. How many of you will have to face this? I don't know. But any of you should be prepared for it. That's why I'm doing it. Especially those of you that aren't comfortable answering questions about Jews or whatever else, or have some whatever's going on out there. You have to understand that Bob has said a lot of things on the blog, and anything he said is fair game to a journalist to ask you, because you're a bugser, and it's his mantra. Okay? But typically what they're going to do is usually something involving one you've heard of, one you've never heard before. I have. I even talked to HD about this in a roundabout way a long time ago because it was already happening. But one is you, I think you have heard it before, or some of you have. They will ask a loaded question in regarding Bob using the word nigger. You know. Yeah. The first time I heard it, I had to think. And it was not necessarily a yes or no answer. It was something about Bob's use of the word N-word, and is that something acceptable to the blogger? You know, what does this have to do with white genocide? That's what I always ask. What does this have to do with white genocide? So on and so forth, you know. There's going to be a silence. And then, of course, I'm going to come back and say, I tell you what, we'll come back and discuss free speech, back when, as soon as everyone white on planet Earth hears what we have to say about white genocide, which is what I always say. But if they press on, in this case, someone pressed on about the N-word. And I say, so you're telling me, because I'm on WhitakerOnline.org now, /blog, and if you're live on the radio, you definitely want to do this. So, because as soon as you start talking about a blog, people want to tune into that to see exactly what they're talking about. So you're saying if I go here right now, I'm going to see in big flashing lights the word nigger. Because I'm here right now, and I don't see it anywhere on the front page. So what exactly are you getting at? What's the game here, other than to not talk about white genocide, which is what you called me over to talk about? Why are we getting off the subject here? What does this have to do about white genocide? Now, I've already said I'm willing to discuss whatever you want to discuss regarding free speech, the semantics of the word nigger, southern semantics, whatever you want to discuss at some point in the future when everyone white on this planet Earth hears what we have to say about white genocide. And that pretty much took him off guard. Now, she wasn't expecting to get that. She expected me to dance around the word nigger. Or something else like that. She's trying to discuss free speech. Now, I have another dance to do on free speech I won't go into in this one. This podcast can be long enough. That I also did. I talked to someone on the phone about it. A bugger on the phone about it after I'd done it with a particular news reporter. you know, free speech versus hate speech, but that is something they'll do that they tend to like to do. But that isn't the doozy. The doozy that they're going to do, and some of you are going to get caught by this, not everyone. Some of you will never have to answer a question like this at all. All you got to do is stay on message, do your thing. But a handful of you will. And in front of a live audience, you can't spin it. I'm going to give you a perfect example. A Sean Hannity will most certainly do this. A fast-talking Jewish-type reporter from out east will definitely do it. I know. I know this for a fact. They're going to say a statement from WhitakerOnline.org. Let me give you a classic one, because Bob has written many articles about traitors and Jews and alien loyalty, and there's one up right now. And I'm going to give you a classic example, a very real example, very close to what was done. They're going to read the statement, something like, Jews are people who have decided to take an alien loyalty. This is an anti-Semitic statement. Are you an anti-Semite like Bob Whitaker? Now, to most people, Bob would, of course, isn't going to get asked a question like that because he's Bob. They're going to ask something else. He's going to say, I'm not going to discuss anything until I have free speech or whatever, however he spends it. He's just pretty good. But what they're doing is saying a loaded statement to you in regards to the person that wrote the mantra. See how you respond. They're saying a statement. Jews are people who decide to take an alien loyalty. You see, you have to understand this. It's one simple fact that some people don't understand. But anyone that disagrees with the Jewish elite is considered an anti-Semite. Period. Anyone that makes a statement like this or has the balls to talk about alien loyalty, Jews and alien loyalty, that's an anti-Semitic statement to a Jew. Forget about truth. Forget about the fact that it's an honest statement. It's a true statement. Truth is no defense against anti-Semitism. They're going to make a loaded statement like that. I know for a fact. You know, Jews are people who have decided to take an alien loyalty. That's an anti-Semitic statement. Are you an anti-Semite like Bob Whitaker? You're going to have to answer that. Now, can you dance around that? I'm not here to discuss the Jewish question. You know, what does this have to do with white genocide? I tell you what, when soon as everyone white on planet Earth hears about what we have to say about white genocide, when we come back with you, we'll discuss the Jewish question in detail in regards to Bob Whitaker, one Robert Whitaker, in regards to yours truly. Can you do that? Against some journalists, you can. That's actually the prescribed thing. You want to get off the subject and get back to white genocide. But here's the danger. Against a live audience, against someone like me, who asks yes or no answers, is very fast talking, very aggressive. If he smells blood in the water, I can tell you, if you were to go on with Sean Hannity and he asked a question like this, and he's going to ask questions like this, questions you're not expecting. You see, you don't understand. Some of you guys don't understand, but anytime someone makes statements like that, they're considered anti-Semitic. Anytime you say anything at all about the Jews at all that the elite, their elite disagrees with, you're anti-Semitic. Period. No question about it. Seriously. It is an interesting thing. Even if you're a Jew, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But there is no dancing around that in a live show. Because in a live show, what Sean Hannity is going to do, as soon as I say, I'll discuss that at another point in the future when everyone whites, or let's do a Bob. If you say, well, I'm not going to discuss that until we have free speech, he's going to keep asking it. Because it's a simple question. Are you an anti-Semite like Bob Whitaker? He's already ascertained to the audience that Bob Whitaker is an anti-Semite. He's already stated that, so he wants to state it over and over again. He's doing a lot of little things with this loaded question. And Sean Hannity, I'm using him, there's several like him, but Sean Hannity is someone that's very good at this. He's quite evil at it. He does it every night. It's almost entertainment. And, of course, there are a handful of different ways you can handle it. But one thing dangerous is to try to stutter on it against a fast-talking Sean Hannity because he's not going to get off the question. I'm not going to be able to do what I did with the word nigger. It ain't going to work like that. It ain't going to work like that at all. And so what is my response? Well, this is a real-time thing. I did it to a person identical to Hannity, a journalist. When they said, are you an anti-Semite like Bob Whitaker? I said, yes. Everyone that disagrees with the Jewish elite is an anti-Semite. And I happen to know the person questioning me was Jewish, so I have a little bit of an edge here. And they said, well, you know, you don't have any, you know, you probably never met a Jew. Oh, I'm friends with a famous, very famous Jewish fellow, Gilead Otzman. Like me, he disagrees with the Jewish elite. Like me, they call him an anti-Semite. Like me, he doesn't care, because anyone that disagrees with the Jewish elite is an anti-Semite. You know, so you are an anti-Semite. This is, he couldn't believe I actually said that. He said, so you are an anti-Semite. We already established that fact. What does any of this have to do with white genocide? You know, if you want to talk about the Jewish question, we'll come back here when everyone white on planet Earth hears all, here's what we have to say on white genocide. Whenever everyone white on planet Earth hears what I have to say about white genocide, we'll come back and have a discussion on the Jewish question. I'll bring out all the big guns you want. You wasn't expecting that type of answer. You expect me to back off. You expect me to rotate it. There are times when you can do that, and it's best to do that. Times when you're going to have to walk through fire. You're going to have to walk through it. Because you have to understand something, and some of you guys don't understand this, is Bob's considered an anti-Semite. Doesn't matter what Bob wants. Doesn't matter. It's what Coach gets. And you, because he wrote the mantra, I have to answer questions about his mantra. It goes to credibility. Now, in front of a live audience, the live audience is shocked. Is this dangerous to do in America right now? For many of you, yes. For many Bugsers, no. It really depends on your dissident level and other things like this. This is a discussion that I've actually gotten in with a famous Jewish anti-Semite, Gilead Otzman. You guys should know, he plays my animation, so I call him my only Jewish friend. Like us, he is considered an anti-Semite, just like Bob, because the Jewish elite disagrees with things they say. His own elite, and they call him an anti-Semite all the time. He doesn't know, and you will see this in videos of Gilead Otzman. One of the reasons for our conversation is, one, he plays our animations. If you've ever seen him, he'll play our animations. Does he take heat over it? God, yes. But he's someone that is challenging his own elite for moral reasons. Well, I respect that. I have a lot of respect for that. It's much more moral to do that than run around bitch at other people for your problems. But that is, you know, his particular opinion is that if they don't stop using the word anti-Semite, we're facing disaster, and we're probably facing disaster anyways. Average Jew, because this word is overplayed. We're talking about what to say, because there's a whole section of Jewish quote-unquote anti-Semites questioning things. Gilead Otzman is one of them. And anyone that questions Jewish elites is called an anti-Semite. What do you say? Well, you state the truth. What they're doing is doing some slight slur by asking you a loaded question, and they do this to him as well regarding something he says. And you got to have something fast, something simple to say, something that catches them off guard. Anyone that disagrees with Jewish elite is anti-Semite. You know, that's that simple. You cannot sit there and discuss it. Now, he's an educator. He does similar to what a lot of some of the different elements. Which is typical of a smart college-educated person. They want to discuss something. They want to debate it. Well, when someone's calling Gilead Otzman in Israel, big time talking Zionist, if you want, Jew, is calling him an anti-Semite, is ragging him out. You don't have time to sit there and have a discussion. It's not a discussion. You're not going to have a discussion with an axe murderer. They're calling you name. They're pinpricking. In this case, they pinprick parts of his work, and they extrapolate it into some big, you know, that he's some self-hating Jew or whatever. And your comment on that, you know, you call him a traitor's Jew, whatever. What I like about him, he plays my animation, which is fine with me. A moral person typically challenges their own. One of the things I always liked about Bob is that Bob will challenge white anti-whites, and he doesn't really care about anything else. Those are big traitors. Well, it's a moral person. A moral Jew that has a problem wouldn't start running around bitching at everyone else. He'd look at their own leadership and say, you know what, a lot of the stuff we're doing, you wonder why this is happening. Look at what you're doing. And anytime anyone disagrees with you, they are anti-Semite. Now, one of the things you need to know about trends, one of the more dominant trends, and this is coming from Gilead Otzman, they've seen all the studies, he's seen all the studies coming out of Israel, is that the dominant trend is against Zionism. You can't be a Zionist, period. I'm going to write that off. The Star of David is basically a hate symbol to most of the world, with the exception of a small few areas in America, and that's closing fast. On college campuses, the management class, the next generation management class, what we'll call the class that gets, that manages to get things done, is in college, let's say. And they are, there's no such thing as Zionism on college campus. Ooh, it doesn't exist. Star of David, ooh, it's a full-blown might. It's probably worse than a swastika to many. If not worse, statistically, it's a full-blown hate symbol. Seriously, we're dealing with reality here, not as it, we're telling you as it is. But you're going to have to deal with questions like that. Can you rotate around it sometimes? What does this have to do with white genocide? Well, I tell you what. We'll come back and discuss the Jewish question when everyone white on planet Earth hears what I have to say about white genocide. And it's a pretty practical explanation. You're willing to discuss it. But before you do that, you have to walk through the question. Because if you don't, they're going to keep asking it. And there's only two ways they're going to come about it. They're going to come about the blog, something about free speech and Bob saying the word nigger. It's the only one I've heard. Some kind of off-the-wall stuff, and some of it's kind of funny and corny. And that'll be pretty easy for most of you. But when they start doing these direct yes or no questions to see how you can handle it, they make a statement, and Bob has made plenty of statements. And he doesn't do it every day, every week, every month. But over 4,000 blog articles, he's made statements about all kinds of different groups. All of them true, but all of them could be mis-extrapolated into something this or something that, especially anti-Semites. It is what it is. One of my biggest concerns is you guys, you know, some of you don't seem to be aware of that, like Gilead Otzman's aware of. You know, if I ever did a show with Gilead Otzman, it would be about what he says when called anti-Semite, because they're having a big problem over this, and I've attempted to help them. You know, you've got to keep it simple. You can't sit there and educate, you know, when someone's engaged in name-calling. You've got to step through it and around it. And if someone is attacking credibility, because what he wants to do is say, are you an anti-Semite, like Bob Whitaker? And then they're going to go back over it. Sean Hannity will have a rabbi sitting here. You see, this is an anti-Semitic statement, isn't it? Rabbi will shake his head, yeah, yeah. Then he's going to come back on it. You know, what you want to do is get over through that and start talking about white genocide. And usually the best way to do it, 80% of the time, because you're not going to, most of you ain't going to ever face a Sean Hannity, 80% of the time is what does this have to do with white genocide? And you could do what Bob does or what I do. I always do the same thing. Well, I tell you what, we'll come back and discuss this. I'll be happy to do a whole entire show with you, get you an exclusive, as soon as everyone white on this planet hears what we have to say about white genocide. Until then, I'm here to discuss white genocide. That's what you called me over. Called me over, sign, diversity's code word for white genocide. I'm not here to talk about, you know, I'm not here to talk about the Jewish question or anything like that. But if they do start stepping, if I feel that they're a yes or no answer, or they're going to keep on with it, I'll walk through the fire really quickly. I have no problems with saying that. And they know that. You'll probably never hear me live get asked a question like that because they know exactly. I'm going to hit the bullseye on that. The audience? Well, in America, we analyze everything. You got to analyze everything from the management class. This is what the elites look at. They don't worry about the masses. They worry about the people that manage to get things done because they know in the Soviet Union, once the system was exposed, you're in trouble. Once the management class has it in for you, you're done for. What we know is that there was a big event in America. It was Mel Gibson's movie. I want to say it was The Crucifixion, the movie he did about Jesus, where Abe Foxman raised a stink about it being anti-Semitic. That was a very bad deal. And since then, the management class has had more and more questions. More and more questions. The Gilead Otzman's, based on any research they have, coming out of Israel and whatnot, he's told them they pushed way too far. They're waiting for just explosion, not based on what the average evangelical is going to do in the South, but what the average managerial class, the ones that manage to get things done, are coming to the conclusion that anyone with a disagreement with the Jewish elite is an anti-Semite. It doesn't mean anything anymore. A strong dissident can walk through it. Ideally, you want to get off any subject like that and get to talk about white genocide. But to do that against someone like me, if someone thinks like me, I'm going to put some questions to you that you don't like from a way you're not used to, and I'm going to attack Bob's credibility. And it's going to be in a yes or no answer. I'm going to read something that is clearly anti-Semitic to any rabbi or any Jew listening, especially Abe Foxman, and I'm going to ask a direct question. Are you an anti-Semitic Bob Whitaker? In other words, I'm going to load it. And you better be able to get through that. Bob can get over and through this stuff. But they're not going to ask Bob any questions like this. Hell, they're not going to call Bob at all, probably. They're going to line up one of you guys, and it may be one of you. They're not going to ask you about Bob being racist. They know you can get through that. They know you can get through that. They're probably not going to ask you anything about free speech. But if they think you got a hang up on something, they think if you're afraid to go somewhere, they're going to go there. And sorry, Bob's an anti-Semite. It's just the way it goes. Most of you don't understand this. I don't know what the malfunction is. It doesn't matter what he wants. You can't make a statement about Jewish loyalty period, being an alien loyalty and not be considered by the Jewish elite. That's just the way it goes. It doesn't matter how moderate Gilead Atzmon is. Gilead Atzmon's Jewish. He's from Israel. It's insane. Point out the insanity, but you want to get around it not by being fancy. You don't want to go on some dissertation about the Jewish question. Not here to do that. You're here to walk through fire and get to talk about white genocide. The audience member will be impressed. The ones you count on, the management class. I don't care about anyone else, but the ones that manage to get things done. A lot of Bugsers are in the management class. They manage to get things done. I managed to get animations done. Most of you probably already figured out I'd consider, most people would consider me management class. That's what a management, Bob Whitaker is archetypal management class. He managed to get things done. What we want you guys to do is take your politics seriously and be able to carry that forward with you and that type of thing. But some of these times, you're not going to be able to dodge a question without being humiliated. You can't say anything philo-Semitic. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I can tell you guys something, even in the pro-white circles, the first Stormfront conference I went at, there was a famous person who can weave bullshit into butterflies. He is the best orator, pro-white orator on planet Earth. He's the best speaker, period. Sam Dixon. Sam Dixon was speculating about potential for white Zionism. In other words, white being Jews. And it was rather entertaining. But I knew the trends. 2010, I knew the trends. Whenever it was, what was it, 2011? The trends are just ominous. You can't touch that. You can be an anti-Semite, but you can't be that. Because anyone that disagrees with Jewish leaders is an anti-Semite, so it's very easy to be that. You can't touch that type of stuff. Even if you want to, even you hold back. Don't say anything philo-Semitic. It's over with. So he said that, and I thought that was an interesting statement, but I knew, based on the trends, that that is never going to work. This guy's out of the picture, which was kind of sad to me. He's missing the boat. The trend's way against that. You can never, ever go down that road. That road's over with. Star of David's a hate symbol. You can use that as pretty much the devil's symbol for most of the planet. The whole entire college campus believes that. The next generation management class, the Jews are getting ready to get rid of Zionism, in my opinion. Everyone's opinion's that. You're going to do something about it. This stuff ain't going to work. So I thought it was interesting as a couple years after this, it was the very next year. I'm listening to a speech by Sam Dixon at a Stormfront conference, and he showed up, and he talked about very elegant speech, very wonderful speech about reciprocity, and it was about as anti-Semitic as anything I've ever heard. It was a 180, but that whole entire set, Jared Taylor, he's notorious for being somewhat philo-Semitic, well, if not outright. You're not going to hear any of that anymore. No, they're pretty much avoiding that. But I was happy to hear Sam Dixon do a 180 because the white Zionists, that ain't never going to happen. That ain't never going to work. Read the writing on the wall. So if those guys are not trying to fool with philo-Semitic stuff, if Sam Dixon does a 180 like that and gives this wonderful speech on reciprocity and how the Jewish elite has never had any reciprocity in us, it was quite brutal. But it was a very elegant way to say screw you to the Jews at a Stormfront conference, which at the first time I heard him, it was totally the direct opposite. So it was kind of entertaining. But that is what we're seeing. He knows the trends. That ain't going to fly. Better get off that tip. That will never in a million years work. You're not going to have any credibility in pro-white politics. You want to start talking about white Zionism, something like that. Oh, no. You're not going to have any credibility, period. If these guys can't get away with fooling around with it, don't fool around with it. If Sam Dixon wants to all of a sudden crosses the Rubicon and has no problem with giving, it was far more elegant than anything. He's one of the most elegant speakers, period. So I wouldn't say it's more elegant than anything David Duke's ever said. It's just a totally different bill of goods. It was more to his lawyer, gentleman type personality of screw the Jews. If he's doing stuff like that, don't try to play with it. If Gilead Atzmon's being called an anti-Semite, everyone's coming to the conclusion that anyone disagrees with the Jews is an anti-Semite. Now, Bob Whitaker's known this for years. But that's one of the challenges. You guys are going to get put to questions you ain't going to like answering. And if you think you ain't going to have to answer questions about news and Jews, you got another thing coming. Because you got the person that wrote the mantra has 4,000 blog entries. Sometimes, 80% of the time, you can move around that. But one of you guys are going to get hit by that, and you're going to try to get around it, and you're going to get clobbered. You say the wrong thing, you're going to not have any credibility in front of a live audience. If you can walk on fire and get through, it'll be over and done with. But you have to understand, too, our enemy, Bob, is an anti-Semite. It is what it is. Does that license to be anti-Semitic? No more than it's licensed to be philo-Semitic, going around saying stupid shit. The ideal is to get back on message. But if you think you can just run from the room every time someone says the word Jew, it ain't gonna be very good, because they're gonna put it to you. They're gonna ask you these questions. I know. Many of you have read one particular famous article from a place in the South saying Tim Murdoch's an anti-Semite. That's true. You don't know the context. I'm not afraid of answering questions like that, because I know these type of questions. I know what it takes and what it doesn't take to get through them, by and large. Now, most of the time, I'm going to say this again, don't get in some dissertation. Most of the time, you want to ask one question. You want to ask a question. What does this have to do with white genocide? And then a lot of times, vast majority of the times, you can rotate in. I tell you what, we'll come back and discuss this. Once everyone white on planet Earth, here's what we have to say about white genocide. That's what we're here to talk about. That's what you called me to talk about. You know, anyone that knows I'm not running around doing dissertations on the Jewish question. But in a yes or no answer like I just posed to you, and someone that's willing to do that is going to keep asking it. And they're generally going to do it in a live audience to provide some humiliation or to try to ruin Bob's credibility. You don't want that question being asked over and over again. You want to run right through it and hammer it home. Because I can tell you, everyone's coming to the conclusion, even the Jews, and anyone that questions the Jewish elite is considered an anti-Semite. Whether or not you're too dumb to recognize that, or too foolish, or too upset about it, I don't know. But that is a basic. Bob is considered, by everyone I've ever talked to, and I've had some phone calls, anyone that I've ever sat across the table from, our enemy considers him an anti-Semite. And they're going to ring you out over that. You either can handle it, most of the time you can move away from it, around it, or you can take it head on. And maybe Bob has some other solutions, but that's what I do. Because anyone that questions the Jewish elite is an anti-Semite. It's a very short, true statement. You cannot get in these long statements like the Gilead Otzmans like to do, like some of our people like to do, in trying to explain the history of anti-Semitism or the history of the word anti-Semite. That ain't going to work in a live audience. It will not work for you. So that's a little warning, a little caveat. It won't affect most of you. I've always said most of you never have to talk about blacks, or never will have to talk about Jews at all. Yours truly, oh yeah. Well, you know, if you're out there and your voice is all over stuff for White Rabbit Radio, and you've done a lot promoting the mantra, spent a lot of time at least, typically they're not going to ask me a question about me. They're not going to ask me a question about white genocide. You know, I'm going to answer those questions. They're going to test the field and answer a question by reading a statement from Bob and attributing some direct statement. Are you an anti-Semite like Bob Whitaker? And they're going to read a statement that any Jewish elite is going to, I Foxman is going to consider that anti-Semitic. You understand the drill. They're going to do that type of thing. You might as well just get ready for it. The free speech type of things, and the different statements on Bob's blog there. The problem with doing something like that is that a live audience is going to tune in the website, and you better hope there are big letters N-I-G-G-E-R on Bob's website, or you're going to lose credibility. It's going to look like another witch hunt to try to police what white people say. And there's a handful of different ways to turn that. But obviously you want to get off the subject and get back onto white genocide, right? But that is a warning shot. So when I was talking about these statements regarding, you know, the mantra and the Jews, the mantra is not philo-Semitic or anti-Semitic. I made a statement on the blog. I had no idea what Bob had read, had got upset over, who went news and Jews or who did what. But when I read the statement, and when I'm talking to you guys about how to handle this stuff, I'm thinking in terms of what I've actually had to handle, not answering talking about World War II history or going on about this. They've never asked me a question about pink rabbits or anything like that. They don't ask questions like that. You've never seen a picture of them in any of their publications. You probably never will. The Star of David is long gone. as long gone as anything positive at all. So the last thing you want to do is start showing pink rabbits. But what I'm saying is, they're going to ask you something you're not expecting. And it's probably going to be something regarding Bob's statement and being anti-Semitic. And there's a handful of probably good ways around it. That's my way. You cannot be cute. You can't put it on rotation, other than a direct question that puts it on rotation. Like, yes, anyone that disagrees with the Jewish leader is anti-Semite. Most of the management class, most of the class that manages to get things done has already concluded that, especially post the Mel Gibson film. This is a statistical fact. It's a rising tide. You don't want to try to fight the tide against side of it. You don't want to touch that stuff. You don't want to say the word Zionism unless it's something about predicting bad news about the doom that's coming for it. Now, in regarding, you know, White Rabbit Radio, I tried to historically take things out of the box over and over again. The biggest compliment I've ever heard is, well, it doesn't look like any pro-white side I've ever seen, or doesn't look like any quote-unquote white supremacist side or Ku Klux Klan side or anything like that. I've heard all kinds of stuff like that from the press. I've heard all kinds of stuff, interesting stuff about the animations. They never put links to the animations in any of the articles, past, recent, post. They want to put something else. Anymore, at least they're putting some of the mantra and putting some websites. I was fascinated by Tim Weiss's article, because when I read Tim Weiss's article, I'd called Bob to tell him that it's out there. Tim Weiss's article, I didn't know he'd already read it, and he'd already, in true Bob Whitaker fashion, had picked out the one of the contradictions. Tim Weiss had called him a Nazi dozens of times, and then turned around and objected his use of the word Nazi, saying he was basically delegitimizing the Holocaust or something. But that's true, Bob. I hadn't read the whole entire thing yet. I just skimmed it to see if he'd called us a racist. I thought it was fascinating, and Bob brought that up, that Tim Weiss didn't call us racist. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. And also, I thought it was fascinating that he actually brought up White Genocide Project, that no one's mentioned. He brought up White Genocide Project, and he started whining about them misquoting him, as if they'd misquoted him, or whining about them. For an anti-white to be whining about someone spinning their words is kind of funny. Obviously, he was wounded by it. But this is the type of stuff we're seeing. In regards to Twitter, what I think is happening with Twitter and this attempt to regulate memes, what's going on with Truthy? Well, I'll tell you the honest lowdown on Truthy. It's all about us. It's that simple. I don't think it's a coincidence. I know for a fact what it's about, because I just know for a fact, for reasons I'm not going to go into right this minute. But I know for a fact, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it has to do with you guys. What they did on Facebook, okay, most of you don't even know this history, but White Rabbit Radio was totally, the first group of listeners was built off Stormfront, mostly on Facebook, though. Different groups, pro-white groups that were on Facebook. In 2010 was a huge year for Facebook, and Peter Cottontail came on board, one of the titans behind White Genocide Project. And, you know, we had built a poor group on Facebook, and we were doing well on Facebook. I built so many different, like, Follow the White Rabbit groups on Facebook. You might remember the first one. It got up to 2,000-3,000, whatever, which was a lot for pro-white stuff then, and there was a lot of mantra stuff going on Facebook. There still is to some extent. But what happened was they brought in a guy, the same guy they're talking to bring in to Twitter, believe it or not. He has something to do with Goldman Sachs. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I do remember it like yesterday. They brought him into police Facebook. They developed some new rules. And what they did was they did something simple. They banned us. They just kept banning us. That's what they did. Twitter is a little interesting. Twitter would not work the same way. Now, anymore on Facebook, they're most likely not going to ban most of you. But every time yours truly has ever got a username up to a certain amount, and they just banned my personal one. That's all been banned. They've banned dozens. They've banned probably a dozen Follow the White Rabbit groups. They continuously ban stuff. White Genocide Memes 1 was banned. White Genocide 2 memes. We personally built up doing some interesting things across Europe up to under 10,000. You might remember that was banned. White Genocide Memes 3 hasn't been banned, but as soon as it gets big, it will. Because I have something to do with it. Anything I have anything to do with on Facebook, they ban. They're pretty wise to what we're doing. Now, Twitter is a little more interesting, guys. Twitter is interesting because they're concerned with this mass movement, not just us. They're concerned directly about us because we've shown an ability to build off social media and to manipulate the rules or to use the rules to seed memes. That is very dangerous stuff. You know, they want to act like this is no big deal to have trending hashtags and stuff like that. Well, the war on white stuff pissed them off big time. I know for a fact. The white man march stuff pissed them off. They might act like it was goofy, but they ain't thinking that at all. They're looking at someone that can walk in and hit trending hashtags or do various different things on Twitter. They're looking at various different things. And another, so you know, what they'll do is they'll bring in the same guy and do the same thing. They'll shut everyone down. You know, that's what they'll do. You know, we've got some big assets working on Twitter. It isn't the first time they've done it to us, but that's what it's that simple of equation. The problem is with Twitter, they're going to have to shut down a lot of other heavyweights as well. You might remember on Twitter they had the Muslims. It was basically the Muslims. It got a hashtag trending called Hitler was right. Hashtag Hitler was right. That infuriated many of them. And infuriated certain parties. When the Muslims get that trending, yeah, it infuriates them. So they've been talking about cracking down on various different stuff. But, you know, they would have to crack down on Brooks Bain. And Brooks Bain's a huge conservative commentator on Twitter. And he's virulently anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. These days, all of a sudden, he has been ever since he came out of Breitbart. He is a big personality, the biggest of the reactionary, quote-unquote, conservatives. They would have to ban him. But could they nick our stuff? Yeah, they'll just shut it down outright. Shut it down outright. You better believe, you know, typically when you guys see dominant trends like Hitler, most people want to avoid that. I don't walk around talking about Hitler. But at the same time, you can take advantage of it if you got some balls, if you got the, you know, if you can be creative. Anti-racist Hitler does that. It takes advantage of a massive Hitler energy flow. Very unique, very, very, you know, usually when the average person watches it, they don't know what to think. They thought they watched something very seditious. But at the same time, it's very effective. I know some particular characters don't like it for a variety of different reasons, which is kind of interesting. But anti-racist Hitler has a massive Twitter. And the reason he has a massive Twitter is because he's anti-racist Hitler. Anything Hitler is huge. I mean, he's probably ratio-wise one of the largest pro-white Twitters, period. And of course, we're doing a lot of different, the person running that, I don't even know who, JP the White Rabbit, he knows anti-racist Hitler forward and backwards by heart, but he's running anti-racist Hitler, and we get a lot of views to anti-racist Hitler from that Twitter over on YouTube. But, that's one way, if you see something like Hitler, you know, I'm someone that, I see the glass always as half full. I never see it as half empty. So if I see a trend or an energy flow, I try to mantrify it, right or wrong, good or bad. It's just the way it goes. But the enemy definitely doesn't like that type of thing. You know, anti-racist Hitler is there running Antifa over in Israel, pushing diversity in only Israel. Now, what's interesting about anti-racist Hitler is most people don't know what it is or anything until they go and watch it, or until they see some of his posts, and he's all over the place. Eventually, we'll bring him hard back into white genocide in a variety of different ways, but we're just building the account. I want some massive Twitter accounts. The more massive, the better. And that's one of the ones we're watching. So is the enemy. Now, the question is, have they banned anti-racist Hitler yet? Have they banned me? No. No, they haven't blocked me or banned me yet. Twitter is the only social media program that hasn't blocked yours truly. Never. And, you know, my New Year's resolution for 2014 was Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. And we've been going to town. Not as much lately, but in a few weeks it'll start again. I'll be on Twitter all the time. That's my platform of choice for swarming or any type of activity. I try to do my best to get on there these days, but I'm having a very tough time with workload. It is what it is. But anti-racist Hitler goes to town. Anti-racist Hitler has been suspended a couple times, but not for violations of rules. It's been for other rules. But that's a good question. Those that have asked it. No, But you can't predict what the enemy does. You can only do your best to put your foot forward and get original out there. Is there anything we're doing to bring anti-racism or bring our animations to larger audiences? Yes, but I can't go into talking about that right this minute. That'll be kind of like something that happens if it happens. But yeah, there are things we can do, and we're doing them. You know, I'm trying to work every angle. Once you have some good material, you want it from the biggest audience possible. But they're not going to go out of way to play any good video we have, whether it be Johnny the White Rabbit and his mantra songs. They're not going to go out of the way to play that. They're not going to go out of their way to play Johnny Racist, or, you know, Gilead Otzman will go out of his way to play it. Anything's creative stuff. But they're not going to go out of their way to do us any favors. You know, they've been kicking and screaming, getting dragged into discussing the mantra. Most of you never thought Tim Weiss would do that. I knew he was going to have to. But that's pretty much on that particular issue. And we'll go on to the next particular discussion. Okay, now I'm going to entertain a couple questions. Very important questions. Some of the most important questions I've answered in years. Horace, I think we were better off when you guys were just a handful. Posting the mantra online. I laugh because I was actually there. I was there in 2005, 2004, 2007. I was there in 2008 before even White Rabbit Radio started. I was there. I was there before any of this stuff. I remember being on certain threads, and the only one there was Simmons. There was no rescue to come to the rescue. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm laughing because it's so silly. Someone said Bob had said something like that. Yeah, I don't think he said that. If you think Bob is unhappy now, you should have seen him. It is very, very tough slogging. I still remember the first Stormfront conference I spoke at. Bob was wearing a White Rabbit Radio t-shirt. And everyone, the only comment I had about Bob, and I had never met Bob personally, talked to him online, talked to him back and forth, so on and so forth. But that was the first time I personally shake hands with him and talk with him extensively, person to person. And one of the funny things is the other pro-white, quote-unquote, leaders, three of them said the funniest thing to me. And they said they had never seen Bob happy, ever. Oh, Bob was at a Stormfront conference. He was happy. Chuck Roy was there. I was there. The thing was, like any political conference, and Bob has been through this thing a million times, whether it be in politics dealing with Washington or whether it be in pro-white politics. Everything's behind schedule. Everyone's a little uptight. Bob is happy. They had never seen Bob happy before. And the reason Bob was happy is because we were busy climbing the mountain. Every single media asset, the only way you're going to seed memes is with media assets. There are mainstream media assets. There are online media assets. There are two kinds of online media assets. There are websites, very powerful websites, White Genocide Project. I won't even talk about my own. We'll leave me out of the picture. White Genocide Project, which I'm very proud of. I remember when Peter Cottontail, one of the titans behind it, was a wee little rabbit out there posting a mantra. And now they've become this colossus. Wonderful. A White Genocide Project is worth probably 10,000 mantra posts, maybe 100,000 a month. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal what has gone on. So you're absolutely out of your mind if you want to go back there. I was there. You don't want to go back there and climb that mountain. The problems we have now are the problems you want to have. The problems we have now are the problems you want to have, but you're out of your mind. Every one of our media assets, even a simple even a simple off-color song like Johnny White Rabbit's "Anti-Racism is a Code Word for Anti-White," that famous mantra songs, are worth tens of thousands of mantra posts by any professional. So you've got to be out of your mind to want to go back. And I'm not even talking about anything yours truly has done or anything. I'm just talking about other things out there that you guys have done. A good Twitter account with just, you know, 500, 1,000 followers is worth hundreds and hundreds of mantra posts by using hashtags. So, you know, you're completely off your rocker if you want to go back. If you think a handful are going to be able to accomplish what we accomplish, we wouldn't have needed any of these other tactics and tricks. We have to have media access. Now, there's another type of media access online, and that is to use these major, major powerhouses online. Targeting alt news. RT.com is the biggest that targets alt news. They're trying to feed off that. Press TV also. David Duke has had access to both of those. We haven't yet. The ones we do have access to are the ones that are getting major traffic, who will talk about anything like Red Ice. But that is basically what we need to seed memes from the top down. Now, why am I not concerned with certain elements? Let's say, I'll use the classic example. John Lash, famous speaker, famous writer, talking about white genocide. Why am I not worried about the Sophia Gaia myth and this guy talking about that? And I'll tell you why. It's based on common sense. It's based on propaganda. It's based on reality. There was a pro-white leader, I won't say her name, who I told to do something quite simple. She was getting a group of people together to talk for a couple hours about some World War II history or some stuff. I can't even remember. Maybe. It wasn't Holocaust. It wasn't the 6 million denier industry. It was nothing like that. It was something else. And I told her that what activists need to do is they need to fulfill a need. Anyone in practical politics, to be effective, in my opinion, has to fulfill a need. The biggest need people have is what to say, especially under the gun. People right now have a need. What do I say when called a racist? You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. In your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. And so in this particular gathering, there wasn't more than 30 people there, but it was like 25 or something like that. It was a good number, good sampling. It was a two-hour talk. At the end, she says, I want to do something simple for you guys. Actually, she said in the midway through, I want to do something simple for you guys before we take a coffee break, whatever. When you're called a racist, this is what we want you to do. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Maybe you guys heard this going around, but this is what you say when called a racist. Just don't say anything else. In your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. She did the whole thing. And it was like a 2 or 3 day get together. Okay. By the third day, she came back and talked about the first conversation they had for a couple hours. She talked about all kinds of complicated stuff. You see, the conversation she was having is very similar to a conversation going on Bugs. They're college level discussions. People don't remember college level discussions. They have to go to class after class after class. What they do remember are 8th and 6th grade level memes, or 8th grade or level memes or below. So she came back and she asked them what they knew. And they went over, you know, she went back into her first hour of what she had talked about regarding whatever it was. I don't even remember that. And the only thing they came back and said is they remembered what to say when called a racist. She fulfilled a need. That was the need they had. But believe it or not, by doing that, a lot of people had a lot more respect. They bought a lot more books and that type of thing, or pamphlets or whatever was going on. That's how you amplify an activist, using a consistent message. There's someone, a writer, who takes her politics seriously, seeding memes. Why am I not worried about that? Because I can't remember anything going on. I can't remember what all even the subject was, just like everyone else. The only thing they're going to remember is what fulfills a need. The only thing they're going to remember in a college-level discussion is the 8th grade meme, especially what to say when called a racist. Very easy. And anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. It's very difficult to forget. We'll get to that in a second. That's why I'm not worried about it. So when John Lash is talking about the Sophia Gaia mysteries or whatever in relation to white genocide, I'm not worried about it because the only thing people are going to remember is white genocide. That's it. Now, in this particular case, we have a handful to bring it back home. One of the complications in our model, and our model for global warming as a hoax, is far more complicated than our job. Global warming is difficult to deal with. The biggest mistake the advocates of it, like Al Gore, made was calling it global warming. They should have called it climate change from the beginning. Because if it's a scam, which it is, and things get too cold, well then you call it global warming, you're screwed. If you call it global cooling, and things get too hot, you're screwed. So climate change, you could run around and run your scam. So that's the first mistake they made. But one of the challenges in alt news is that you have writers. And writers aren't going to sit there. Some of these guys are quite entertaining. They're not going to say, well, global warming is a shortage scheme to give academics a bunch of power. They ain't going to make no money doing that. Although that's true. They got to do that in this huge extrapolation of something to make a lot of money. They got to make a living, right? That's what they're there for. So what they would have to do in these long, complicated discussions on global warming, and it's very technical. God, if you've ever heard global warming, it's so technical, I can't even go into it. It's too technical for me. The only thing I can remember is the only thing you can remember. Ask your friends and neighbors. If you don't, ask your friends and neighbors what they know about global warming. And some of them, very rare, will be able to answer. Ask, have you ever heard of global warming is a hoax? They'll all say, yeah, I heard it. So basically what they had to do was they had to bring it back home. They weren't worried about that meme not sinking in as long as they had access from the top down. They started from the top down. They didn't start with a bunch of activists. They only had a handful. But they had to bring it back home. It was like, okay, you know, and they would end it like, okay, global warming is a huge scam. Global warming is a hoax. That's the only thing people remembered. It's too complicated. Shit's, I mean, you know, the only thing, the way we remember college level courses is getting drilled over and over and over again. People are talking about, well, Horace, it's a long learning curve becoming a bugster. It's a long learning curve becoming a frickin' welder. Everything takes time. Everything takes effort. That's why I'm not worried about these type of things. See the memes. As long as it's white genocide. The war on whites, okay, that's wonderful, but that's not what I'm seeding. I'm seeding white genocide. John Lash gets it. And that's all people remember. That's what they remember. If you have access to like a Fox News, I mean, hell, I can't remember Charles Krautheimer, what he talked about last night, but he did say Israel's our only ally in the Middle East. That's all people remember. It's very simple. It's sixth grade level meme. Everyone can understand it. That's reality. That's the way things really work. And this discussion is going to get crazy. White genocide, this conspiracy, and that's what it is. Under U.S. law, conspiracy is two or more rabbits conspiring. And it's simply what it is so big and affects so many people, white people, all of them, in every country, that it's bound to generate some pretty crazy theories behind it. The Jews, you haven't seen anything yet. Our job is to step in there and bring it back home, because the only thing they're going to remember is diversity is a code word for white genocide. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. But we do have to have a few people to bring it back home. We only need a few from the top down. But we need a few. And this is the challenge, okay, for someone who's very entertaining, for someone who can do one hell of a job, you know. And I'm going to pick on Jimmy Marr for a minute. This is the challenge for a bagpipe player and someone out there on message, that you have to go from having a discussion. And there are two types of things. There's warfare and there's discussions. This is the challenge. Around pro-whites, I'm only having discussions. I'm not running around battering them over the head, which is why a lot of them, even non-Bugsters, come to me with their certain questions about us. They don't feel they can ask Bugsters because they feel Bugsters take their heads off. I'm always in discussion mode. Around when the enemy calls, I'm in a whole nother bill of goods. If someone starts calling names, then I'm in a whole nother bill of goods. It's a warfare. It's very hard to go from warfare to discussion. But if you're out there and you're doing an entertaining, or you're on some show doing entertainment, they want to talk about this or they want to talk about that. In Jimmy Marr's case, he taught World War II history at the college level and all kinds of stuff about World War II in a college course. Actually spent several months, so that's what he's pretty passionate about. You know, ultimately, to be really effective as an activist, you got to take your politics seriously and you got to bring the stuff home. You got to bring the stuff home. And we go very wide, with a very wide brush, and the wide brush is anti-white. My reasons for that are not quite the same as Bob's, although Bob's reasons are relevant. It's more effective to go with a broad brush. Hopefully we've already discussed the Lutheran issue, and the Lutheran issue is a classic example. You see, I get this from all directions. I get this from, well, they're talking about the Jews. Well, they're talking about crazy stuff for us in white genocide. I don't like this Sophia Guy stuff in white genocide. Or they're talking about, okay, now I got another guy that's talking about Luther, going on a rant about Christians and his conversation, the comment about Lutheran charities, and what he did in that particular protest, whatever. Totally relevant. But we don't want to go off the reservation, especially in front of a camera. Having a discussion on Renegade Broadcasting is one thing. It's friendly territory. People get it, you know, by and large. But we don't want to start going off the reservation in front of camera because you got precious little time. And we have a comment and a question from a protester, a younger guy. You haven't had any experience with this Bugster yet. Or White Rabbit, whatever he wants to call himself. Or just pro-white. But typically, most of you guys have problems dealing with this particular Jewish issue or someone talking about the Jews. Well, going off, you can go off the reservations a variety of different ways. And in this particular instance, there was a skedaddle, if you could call it. Don't have any pictures, don't have any video that he wants released, at least. Regarding, and it's one of these Christian Lutheran refugee charities. I know it's Lutheran, I believe it's a refugee charity. It's a white genocide charity. They're basically, in America, there's these Christian charities, especially the Lutherans are quite famous for this. That's what this one is. That are moving around, non-whites from around the world, into white communities. I don't know if you've seen this type of thing. And of course, he wants, or is, doing some different things in that particular regard, in regards to white genocide, exposing white genocide. Now, in this particular scenario, he obviously knows all about this particular Lutheran refugee scam. They're moving in. These Christian do-gooders moving in. These anti-white traitors are moving in. All these non-whites, and this is all part of white genocide. You know, he wants to expose it. Where the problem comes into is not hitting it with the memes. Is not. In anything at all you're doing, JR. The challenge comes in is moving it and making sure that the message comes back to all anti-whites. You don't want to get stuck, and which is what's happening, on discussing the history of Lutheran refugees, which you know the history of, the Lutheran refugee charities. You don't want to get stuck on discussing Christians or anything else like that. I mean, so the protest and the ideals behind it are totally solid. The facts and the history, totally solid. Don't have a problem with that. But if the cameras show up and you got a sound bite, you don't want to go off tangent and talk about this or talk about that. You just want to stick to anti-whites. Now, who are you protesting against? Yeah, we're protesting white genocide. Who's committing this? Anti-whites. This is a great example of these anti-white traitors trying to force integrate, force assimilate, bring in all these refugees into white countries, only white countries. Something along those lines. Bring it back home. Don't go off on the reservation on Christians or trying to discuss the history of that particular organization. You can't really educate. You can't educate. People aren't going to remember that. They're going to pick up something funny or weird from it. But they will remember anti-white because the meme is seeded and it's being seeded. And we want to continue to seed it. And they will remember white genocide. They don't remember a whole lot. But they will remember that. And that's important to keep in mind. It's no different. The problems that you guys are seeing over the Jews, I see it across the board. But in this type of thing, as we go top down on certain media channels, it's going to be the responsibility of a handful. We only need a handful because of the model I'm using. In my model, it only took a handful to bring it back home to the simple memes. But we want to make it a broad brush. And I'm always asked, why a broad brush? And to me personally, one, it's more effective because it doesn't leave out any rascals. It's more effective. Far more effective. It's simple. It's already seated, so it's too late now. I don't want to start going into explaining this anti-white versus this anti-white. Just say anti-white. Simple. I don't want to go on some broad discussion. It's not a place for a broad discussion. It's not a history book. It's just simple. And there's two other reasons. The first reason that I wouldn't want to go into a tangent on just Christians or just Jews or just space aliens or anything else is we don't know the whole entire history. You know, people are talking about white genocide and Zionism because one of the fathers of one of the documents, we don't have a lot, well, we do have documents, but the oldest stuff is from Cardinal Clergy, this European that helped design the European Union. He's a very famous Zionist, very early on, and he's basically one of the architects of white genocide in Europe. That's a fact. It's no hiding it. Jewish or part Jewish diplomat, Zionist, you get the picture. You want to go on and on about that, and that's true, that's a fact. But this is one of the challenges with the fact. Someone else says white genocide is a response to Adolf Hitler. Well, in this historical discussion, you got a problem there because Coldenhove Clergy predates Hitler. You know, this is one of the challenges. We don't have all the facts yet. We have some facts. We don't have all the facts. I mean, that this is the general challenge. It's very simple. In 1925, in early 20th century America, there was an attempted immigration act. try to open up the borders to non-white immigrants in America. It's a fact. And one of the famous Anglo-American elites said, if there's any changing to do, we'll be doing the changing. The same parties that were pushing that were the same parties that pushed it post-World War II. Now, Jews didn't control the media in 1925. Yeah, they did. They had a lot of power in the media in 1925. The ADL wasn't pushing this well. There was all kinds of Jewish organizations pushing it, and I believe the ADL was too. It's the same thing. So why didn't it work then, and why did it work post-World War II? It's one of the classic designs. The fact of the matter is there's some discussions on it, but we don't fully know. You know, you have this group that's been pushing for our death nonstop. This is a fact. These facts are indisputable. They're connected to Zionism, like Coldenhove clergy, no doubt about that. No point in disputing it. But something happened post-World War II. Now, Bob has a simple explanation, and I think the explanation does explain the psychology. You have these dog faces from World War II. They were told to obey orders, World War II generation. They came back, and they obeyed orders, and they destroyed Western civilization and just stand up for nothing. You know, you have these screaming Jews from out east screaming at them, and that's what happened. Simple explanation. And he went into a little more detail. Well, the social engineering schools from out east weren't all Jewish, but they were. And they had a tremendous influence, just like they do in Hollywood. But at the same time, none of the members of the Anglo-American set, especially post-World War II, like in 1965, none of them stood up and said, if there's any changing to do, we'll be doing the changing. They put their foot down at 25. It wasn't happening. Post-World War II, it's another story. Post-World War II, they turned it loose, or they didn't care, or they just became traitors. We want all the whole entire investigation. You're not going to get that by just pinning down one group that we know is guilty. You're not going to get that by just pointing out Barbara Ann Spector, and that's it. Now, Barbara Ann Spector is a very big deal. She's become the lightning rod in alt news for white genocide because her quote is so over the top. There's another reason. I couldn't think of anything more evil to say. Adelheim, who came up with anti-racist Hitler, he came up with the original concept, he couldn't think of anything more evil to say, so we used one of her quotes, and Hitler's talking her stuff. You know, there's going to be a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, talking about the Jews, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic society they once were. In the last century, Jews are going to be the center of that. It's a huge transformation to make. They are now going to multicultural mode. Jews will be resented because of our leading role. They're talking about basically destroying European children. She's laughing and cackling and everything else. It escaped on video. It's become very famous. Do I think she's going to have a chapter in the history? Probably. She's become the poster child. Is that the only one I want to talk about? No, there's some mystery here. That's where the conspiracy picks up speed. 1925, it didn't work. 1965, it did. We have a lot of traitors in the door. We need to paint them with a broad brush. That's a very important point. You don't know everything. We don't know everything. If you think you know everything, you're in trouble. Anytime you say that in any situation. We want the investigation. Indefinitely. Cash for traitors. I personally want it because I want to know what all's going on. I don't know the whole track record. You can't get that if we're just talking about Christians or Lutherans, although they're part of it. I'm guessing this Lutheran refugee charity, from what this guy is saying, they're going to have quite a chapter themselves in the chapter of the history of white genocide. We ain't here to write history. Not here to write history. We're here to seed our memes. So it's very important to bring that point home. People always want to discuss Barbara Ann Lerner Spector with me because we put the quote end to anti-racist Hitler. Did it because we couldn't think of anything more evil. I mean, she obviously didn't want this video out there laughing and cackling, talking about our deaths and everything else, but you get the point. There's a second discussion, and this is even more important than the first, and why we have to bring it home. We need a handful right now because of the way our memes are being seeded from the top down, in my opinion, to bring it back home to all anti-whites. Not because I care that some Jew's feelings hurt or Barbara Lerner Spector or some of her feelings are hurt. I don't care about that. People know that. The second thing is more important to me. Right now in alt news, especially, the big media channels are doing something extraordinary that we haven't seen since World War II. They're talking about all these dead white people across the planet. We have some pro-whites that have made hay in talking about ancient European remains being found in various different places. This goes back to World War II. This hasn't been done since Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany talked about these whites in the Canary Islands and the whites in ancient America. And they were doing this. They're doing this. There was a pure inquiry under the Third Reich. They went all over the world and everything else. Ancient whites in Tibet. And this is making hay because they keep finding these white remains everywhere. You know, when they find a Chinese remain or Asian remain in ancient America or anything remotely, oh yeah, Asians conquered us 4,000 years ago and da 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 da, and they put up a museum to it, and African remains found here, and they talk about, oh yeah, blacks did this, blacks did that for thousands and thousands of years. They find ancient white remains 10,000 years old. They give them to a local India tribe, they lie about it, and they put up a shopping center. There's certainly a conspiracy to it, right over top of the remains where you can't dig again, a la Kennewick Man. There's certainly something going on here. They're starting to talk about that. Why is it relevant to what we're doing? It's very relevant to an open inquiry. White genocide might not be anything new. See, what I just told you, when you look at what they just did on Red Ice with the Canary Islands, ancient white remains, what we know and don't know. The only thing we know is whites are spread out all over the world and they died. They got killed, murdered, or died out for some reason. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It didn't happen by accident, probably. Our race has some crazy traits, and we tend to do some stupid things. Engage in risky behavior. Back into follow the white rabbits, good old days. White rabbits engage in some very risky behavior. You don't need Jews or Christians around to take advantage of that. There were no Jews or Christians around the Canary Islands. There's no Jews or Christians around in ancient America. And they ain't here. They died. So we need to figure out what exactly those traits are. And Bugs, at one time, prior to Bob going full-blown coaching, was devoted to that, talking about some of our traits. I've talked about and follow the white rabbit. We have a blind spot. You don't need Jews or Christians around to poke that blind spot, but you do need to understand it and have a larger discussion about it so that we learn from it to get on with things. If you're always blaming your problems on an outside dogma, like Christianity, and I understand the hatred toward these Lutheran, white, Christian, anti-white traitors. In fact, they're the biggest traitors at all because they're supposed to be on our side. I understand the resentment toward some of these characters who have sat across from certain Jewish figures and that they made their lives miserable for a variety of different reasons just because they're pro-whites, like David Duke. I understand that. I understand that. But if we don't have a larger discussion, white genocide that happened before, I'm convinced of this. I don't know why or how, but the, you know, whites are disappeared all over the planet for some particular reason. And it's happening now. May happen again. Because we have a blind spot. We have some things we need to learn. If you're blaming your problems on other people and that's it, not that they're not guilty, not Barbara Lerner Specter is freaking evil, understand that. We can never learn a larger lesson about these blind spots. At one time, Whitaker Online was nearly devoted to this, our internal dialogue and all the different things that go wrong. That is my particular, the biggest pet peeve when you go off the reservation, isn't that I think it can't be pulled back. I'm not intimidated by someone sitting on Renegade that wants to discuss something else and then talk about white genocide. It gets others upset. It doesn't get upset. I've seen it all. By the end of it, you haven't seen any crazy discussions yet. My job, I may be the only one that does this, but what I'm going to do is step in and pull it back for the reasons I just stated. One, we're seated at the memes. I've already spent a major, I don't care what you think, love or hate me, I spent a major time and consideration in seeding memes like anti-white, white genocide, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, doing the basics. I spent a major portion of time doing it, and I think we've been very successful with a lot of help. I spent a major portion of the time doing large media projects that could be around indefinitely. And I didn't do it because I'm interested in failing at the last minute or not being able to bring it home. We've got to bring it back to talk about anti-white so we have a larger discussion so it doesn't freaking happen again. And it's very simple. It's nothing to get bent out of shape over. Someone wants to go out and have pro-white discussions on this or that and work in our stuff. I don't have a problem with that because I know, based on any study, the only thing people remember eighth grade memes, they don't remember all that college stuff. Even with the global warming as a hoax, the model yours truly is using over and over again, that is the only thing they remember. The only thing you remember is global warming as a hoax. You don't remember nothing else. I ain't threatened by it. But if you're going to be an activist, well, the ultimate activist is an entertainer or someone that can get up there and do something crazy and then bring the message back home because you take your politics seriously. You got to be on message. You got to have a message. You got to know when to go, when to have a discussion, and when to put on the game face and be all practical politics. Period. You know, getting upset because, you know, if I'm upset at this kid for what he's doing, going off the reservation on Lutherans, he's not going to learn anything. He's never going to learn anything. And there is a learning curve in this stuff. It's college. It's a college-level course. That's what it was always built as, Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. It's a graduate seminar. It takes time. You don't get ahead by yelling and screaming and running around trying to run people off for this or that. And there's some personalities in dissonant circles that are always prickly. You know, I think people come to me because I'm so easygoing about this stuff. I've seen it all. And by the end of it, you're going to see it all. And my personal job is to step in and bring the discussion back to all anti-whites for reasons that have nothing to do with being threatened by talking about Jews or worried about talking about Jews or worried about contamination of the message. Message is too simple to be contaminated by these discussions that are going to be going on. God only knows there is no way you're going to, a famous writer, a wealthy writer, is going to contaminate white genocide by talking about white genocide in relation to their work. Oh, on the contrary. That's the only thing people are going to remember. I don't remember anything about Sophia Gaia, but I remember white genocide. Most people don't know, you know, that's one of the challenges with these titles. War on Whites. Tim Murdoch, the War on Whites. Well, that's wonderful. I wanted Tim Murdoch talking about white genocide. I ain't angry at her for it. She pretty much got a trending hashtag, and they've been punished accordingly. It was very nice to have them on. But, you know, we're coming from the top down now, and we need a handful of individuals to round the corner. If you're going to be, I mean, long term, you know, 20 years from now, there may be other memes you have to see. Very important for our race. You've got to be able to bring it back home, and it is tough. If you're on a show, and you know, if you're on a show and they only want you on to read a mantra, it's going to be a pretty short show. They want to talk about this. They want to talk about that. That's fine. I don't care if you're talking about women's dress sizes. I don't care if you're talking about Jews. I don't care if you're talking about aliens from another planet. Bring it back home. Make a larger point. Impact the audience. To impact an audience, for any activist, you have to give them, typically, you have to fulfill a need. You have to give them something to say. It's got to be something simple. One of the problems with teaching history is teaching history right now is difficult. You know, trying to have a teaching history takes a discussion. Bugs is a discussion. Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar is a discussion. To have a discussion can't be in the presence of psychological warfare. If you're in the presence of psychological warfare, there's no discussion. If you're trying to have a discussion with someone engaged in warfare against you, which is what you're doing when you start teaching about Lutherans or anything else, what you're doing is basically having a discussion with an axe murderer. You look like a damn fool. Sit down, square up, and hit them with the memes. And if you don't understand, let someone help you. Some of these bugs aren't good at helping others. They just want to yell and scream. And it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you anywhere. And I mean, in regards to the trend against the Jews, it's so pervasive. It's so pervasive. It is absolutely no reason to even talk about it, basically. And we'll talk about that in the next little bit. And I'm going to talk about probably the diciest thing that I've been asked. The thing that you guys are going to get asked, you're going to have to get around, because it has to do with Bob. It has to do with Bob. It has to do with the mantra. There's a way around it, but if that doesn't work, you're going to have to go through it. And you're going to have to decide how to do that. You either fall on your face, you'll do it well, or some combination thereof. But that's a little blurb in there. And this Follow the White Rabbit is laid out like none other, because I actually wrote out notes. I've never written out notes for any Follow the White Rabbit. So these subjects are important. What I just said is very important. Square it up, bring it back home. I don't care if you're talking about women's dress sizes. Bring it back home to all anti-whites. You know, let's not go off in that. At the same time, if you got some pro-white colleague having a discussion over on some pro-white channel, leave it the hell alone. You know, maybe critique them or try to help them do this or do that. Aggravating them, harassing them, I don't know. Maybe there are some bugsters that are philo-Semites. And let me explain something to you. The big philo-Semites are no longer philo-Semites in pro-white activism. Let me give you some facts. I'll tell the bugsters a brief story. It's a story about an individual who came on message early on, but had a very, very tough time. He sits on the radio for at least an hour a day. He has to talk about all kinds of different things. When it's time to move back on message, he'll move back on message. Now, I never heard one complaint about this person lately. The only thing I'm hearing about these days is people yelling and screaming about Jimmy Marr. But the fact of the matter is, if you go back in time, and since I've been here a while, the only complaints I heard a few years back were about Chuck Roy. Chuck Roy said this, Chuck Roy said that, you know, we need to get Chuck Roy better on message, and all these different things. And you know, anytime someone new comes on Bugs, and they go live with something, and Truck Roy's a good talker, so he's good on the radio. Typically when they're new and they say something, generally speaking, the older buggers cringe. It is what it is. Now, Simmons and some others, for better or worse, didn't think he could make it, didn't think he could do that well. Well, and he's a great example of what can be done if you have the will to. You know, he has to talk about all kinds of things. He can't sit on the hour radio and read the mantra over and over again unless it's a mantra special. If it's a mantra special, he can do that. You know, if it's special on white genocide, if you have me on or whatever he wants to do. But Chuck Roy can't do that. He's got to talk about what Don Black wants to talk about, and then he can move it back. He's probably said anti-white more on the radio than anyone else ever has or ever will. Thank God. He's sitting on rinse every day. I never hear any complaints about him. Haven't in the last probably year and a half, 2 years. Used to have all kinds. Oh, Horace, what are you doing there? What are you going to do with him? he can't. He's killing us. He never once hurt us. Didn't hurt us. Did it hurt us? He's made far more mistakes than Mr. Jimmy Marr, talking about the Jews. Truck Roy's made every mistake in the book. Everyone does. When you're doing it live or something like that, yeah, it's somewhat painful. But it's a growing process. And Truck Roy, of course, I don't know if you guys saw the NPR video where he stood up and talked in Arkansas. He did a very good job. Down there with that sign, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. National Public Radio went down there and he stood up and he made his points. He's an asset. I mean, if you want to run off everyone because they go off, they do something sideways or something like that, you're going to, you know, I guess you could do that. That's not my particular. It's not my particular goal. You know, you got to stick with them. You can't expect someone to come in overnight, and especially a talented person, because a talented person generally thinks that they know a few things, and they do. But it takes some amount of time to be able to move in and out of topics, move from, like Truck Roy does, from being entertaining to talking about the news to when he's supposed to hit his points. It's kind of like Charles Krautheimer. If you ever watch Fox News, I'm going to use this name because he's a great example of what the enemy does. He'll talk about whatever they need to talk about. On Fox News, you watch Fox News from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you're always going to see Charles Krautheimer sitting there. He's in a wheelchair, actually. He's an arch neocon. He's your enemy. He's your nemesis. He's driving for war. There's going to be a message. He's going to be on message. He's not always working it in, but if he has an opportunity to work in it, he's going to work it in. He might be entertaining, but he's going to come back to message when it's time to make his point. Truck Roy can't sit on the radio for an hour and talk about what he wants to talk about. He's got to talk about what he has to talk about. He's going to have a very short life. Well, you just need to go out there and he needs to post the mantra and just talk about the mantra. I used to hear this. I'm like, he's going to have a very short career. That's not very entertaining. You know, we need guys like Truck Roy who are political and take their politics seriously, meaning they're on message and they're willing to learn how the message works. But that ain't an overnight process. Running them off, bitching at them incessantly about going off topic doesn't work. If I would have done that, we would have lost a big asset. And some people wanted to do that. They're better, you know, Bugs is better off, or it's just a hand, six of us with you running out there posting the mantra, reporting and that type of thing. Well, that's wonderful. We're not better off. No way. There's some growing pains. You're in dreamland if we want to go back in time. It ain't happening here. Even if I may be the only one to bring it back to anti-white, and I know Truck Roy will help me, so I got two on the radio, potentially could be on the radio. And maybe you're going to do some things wrong. Maybe you're going to make some mistakes. You got to be able to learn from it. But no one's going to start listening to someone if you're starting to beat them over the head night and day. There's a right and wrong approach on everyone. Some people respond to that. Some people don't. You know, there's some pretty clever guys and gals out there interested in our stuff. And there's a right and wrong approach to everyone. Just got to kind of feel the situation out. But I don't know. I even understand where all this stuff. I understand because I've been here before, but I don't understand what all the outrage is and all the upset over this and that, other than it's some type of personal feud between Jimmy and someone else that's meticized. It's typical dissonant type stuff. That's the only thing I can imagine. Maybe there's someone who's philo-Semitic. You don't have a future. I mean, that's wonderful. You run around posting on Bugs. I don't care if blacks run around posting a mantra and they ain't running my website. You know, there is no future in philo-Semitism. Running around saying funny things about Zionism or white Zionism, just ask the pros and pro-white. It's not there. It's not going to happen. Ask the Gilead Oddsmans. I mean, it's much easier to work with someone like Jimmy Marr that's not terminal. But at the same time, Jimmy will learn to turn it off and turn it on. You know, I'm not out policing what Truck Roy says. Never have, never had. It doesn't work. But you can help him. You can catch more bees with honey than you can throwing a bunch of vinegar on. We're better off just having a few. Well, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. I was there. We're better off with some growing pains. And we only need a handful, as the meme goes top down, to bring it back on message. Yeah, I mean, if they want to give screen time to the newbies, and they might do this, that mess up or flub a few things, or make everyone cringe, that might happen as well. We'll work through it. There's always a way around any problem. You know, there was a complaint about Truck Roy. Well, he's got a lot of radio opportunities, but he flubs this, he flubs that. Well, he doesn't anymore. I don't hear any I haven't heard complaints about Truck Roy in a long time, and I had the only active email for all the Bugsters. Since White Rabbit Radio came out, it's always attached to Horace the White Rabbit. So everyone would email me complaining about what he said or this or that, or going off message. I've heard it all twice and five times on Sunday. Bob hasn't even heard about half of that, or maybe not even 10%. He doesn't pay attention to it. Well, he's a coach. You know, you're either going to stick with someone and try to work through it or not. And this is not a five-minute process. It's not a five-minute process. At the same time, we're all better off having Truck Roy out there saying anti-white, talking about the mantra every time he gets a chance. Far better off having someone like Truck Roy. But at the same time, you understand. So when I see something about Jimmy Marr or whatever, I just see, I don't know, maybe this is personal between someone or whatever. Okay, he's an anti-Semite. There's no rule against someone being, you're much better off in that than being philo-Semite. But you gotta learn when to turn things off, when to turn things off, how to walk through a question, and various different things like that. And that takes a little bit of time, a little bit of energy. And a willingness to understand there's times to have a discussion and a time to turn on and have warfare. If you're going on Renegade Broadcasting for an hour and having a discussion, that's a pro-white channel. It's a discussion. They're not calling him names. You know, I used to go through this with Truck Roy. He's on some particular show, and it's a discussion. He's trying to discuss things as best he can from his particular opinion and from his particular viewpoint on all kinds of things in the world. Was he good at bringing it back on message? He was horrible at first. He couldn't do it for his life. Well, he can now. He can now, like a professional. But Jesus, I didn't sit there and tell him what to say and try to beat him over the head. These are generally pro-white channels. What, you know. It is what it is, but there's a right and wrong approach to everything, and I don't fully even understand this one. But to me, it's just like a Truck Roy thing. A little bit more meta side. Well, I don't know. The Truck Roy thing was pretty big because he's very vocal. He's always on Stormfront Radio with Derek Black at one time and all kind of stuff. He's been on the radio since day one with Don Black, even at Rents, but I never hear any complaints about him. Why don't I hear about Truck Roy? Well, he's pretty good at coming back on message now. No complaints from the old Bugsters at all. At all. So, you know, I understand the cringing, and I understand that trying to help someone, but whatever they're doing to try to make Jimmy Marr more effective in the long run, it's not going to work throwing scalded water on a rabbit. You know, run around all this hooping and howling and fighting and everything else. I understand the upset over someone in front of a camera and flubbing something. Okay, fine. That's probably going to happen. But I'm not worried about it long term. If I worried about it long term, we wouldn't be anywhere. You're going to shut down everyone that shows any sign of promise, and some will work out, some won't. By and large, we've had a lot of people that had the will to learn these particular things learn. But it is a college-level course. It is. It takes a little bit of time. But Truck Roy is a great example. So I've heard all this before. Actually, I've heard a lot worse. And it was all bitching at me, because I went out of my way. I've went out of my way since day one. I knew Truck Roy could make it. Knew he could be an asset. So you either want to help someone or you want to sit there and rag at him. And I've never once even told Truck Roy about, well, he knows because Bugsters are pretty open when they're bitching about something. But some of the old guard, you know, he wasn't very good at first. Well, it takes some time, for God's sakes. It takes some time to come up back on message. And no one's perfect. But that's what I think about Jimmy Marr. I think he's probably another Truck Roy, a far more of an entertainer. Truck is pretty entertaining, but he's basically a news anchor. But, you know, to take your politics seriously, you better be able to come back on message at some point in time. But it does take, there is some learning curve. Well, we can't wait for learning curves. Well, I can. I have before. But, you know, there's a right and wrong way to try to offer advice, suggestions, and whatnot. You know, That is my particular 10 cents on Jimmy Maher. You guys need to have a discussion and work things out instead. I want to throw this person out. He said you. You should have heard the stuff over Chuck Roy. Did you hear that black on crime stuff? Oh, my God, Horace. What are you doing? You should have heard the stuff on Chuck Roy. It was hard. It was worse because about 10 people bitching at me, or actually about 6 people bitching at me at the same time. Minus Bob. Bob didn't hear it. It was early on. Bob was just happy to have people talking about the mantra. You know, he's a little more patient than, to some extent, with the Chuck Roys. But, you know, he came along. He did not come along overnight. You know, this type of thing takes a little bit of time. So I've seen this before. Seen it all before. Been through this all before, and it doesn't matter what happens, it'll work itself out. Now, dominant personalities like Chuck Roy need their own site. I've talked about this before. He has his own site, by the way, coming up. I would definitely help him out. I would definitely put up a link for him. He could write a piece for my website. I run pieces from White Genocide Project, from whoever is on message or anything relevant. I run tweets from all different types of people that I think are good. But at the same time, and this is very important, at the same time, you know, 3-4 dominant personalities going in on a website is probably not the most intelligent idea in the world, unless you have everything worked out ahead of time, because someone's going to be the boss and you can't have 3 bosses. You know how that works. So that's just my advice from the get-go. I don't know what's going on with Fight White Genocide or whatever, but you can't have 3 bosses. And one boss that doesn't get along with other bosses, or one boss that's too bossy or something like that, or that can't sit down and discuss things, want to go screaming for the room, well, that ain't going to work either. So I don't know. I always tell dominant personalities, like a Chuck Roy, get your own site and I'll help you. I want everyone to have their own sites. We want tons of media outlets or potential media outlets. You don't know what's going to be huge. And I don't know who's going to. Chuck Roy might be the biggest name to come out of Bugs ever, and he was supposedly could never make it. You see how that works? Yeah. As far as someone in the media long-term that we can count on to plug a message. And he is as good as they get. But that's pretty much that. So in closing, am I worried about someone going off message and hurting White Rabbit Radio or yours truly? I've heard all this before. I heard it with Chuck Roy. You're either going to stick with someone or you're not. And I'm for sticking with anyone, pro-white, that wants to be on message. There's ways to help people out. Some people respond to coaches throwing chairs. Some people don't. There's some very strong personality. And some of these different boxers, whatnot, like to get rises out of each other. You know, they'll go at it. Whatever. Everyone's seen it. It is what it is. But I'm for sticking it out and helping out whoever. You know, you guys think Wild, you've seen Wild, you haven't seen Wild. You think the coach is going nuts. Wait till the coach hears some of these big time, major money making, alt news guys come across the board. The major booksellers. Come across the board and talk about white genocide. You're going to have the news and Jews crowd all upset that they're stealing the thunder from them talking about the Jews. You're going to have some of the traditional boxers all upset that these guys are talking about white genocide. Back here on planet Earth, the only thing anyone's going to remember from it is the phrase white genocide. You know, that's the thing to keep in mind. Seeding memes is seeding memes. The quickest distance between two points is the straightest line. You seed memes from the top down. If you ain't got a Fox News, you go to the next best thing. We're getting the next best thing. And, you know, you've got to have faith that after all this time, we have a few strong enough personalities that can bring it back home, if that's what you're worried about, that can stick it out with the Chuck Roy. I mean, I heard way worse about Chuck Roy than I heard about a Kyle Hunt or Jimmy Maher. You know, I mean, there are certain tendencies pro-whites have. There are certain tendencies all dissidents have. Gilead Otzman, interesting enough, has many of similar tendencies in worrying about arguing around this phrase anti-Semite, because here's a Jew called anti-Semite, which is kind of funny, and he's got a whole other set of problems to deal with, but a similar type of problem. You know, you got to have something short and fast, and you got to bring it back home and just hit it. And then, of course, if you can get a lot of other Jews to hit it, well, there you go. You know, but that's his mission, is like to take that word away from his elites before they all get killed over it. Well, it's an interesting mission to have, but, you know, it's all around the same thing. You don't want to talk too much in front of a camera or on a TV or when you only have a soundbite, because in today's politics, you only have a brief second. You don't want to go into some dissertation or, you know, some teaching lesson, because you're not in a discussion. You know, for education to happen, you have to be able to have a discussion. For a discussion to happen, you can't be in the presence of psychological warfare. Psychological operations in any way, shape, manner, or form, it just shuts it all down. It all gets discombobulated. So really what it is a big waste of time. Now, that's one of the conundrums with going on shows. You got some various different entertainers in the Bugser group coming up and doing their own shows, asked to be on other shows. Well, you're going to have to talk about whatever. Chuck Roy's a great example of this. You got to be able to talk about whatever and come back to on message when you're supposed to be on message. But you're not going to be able to sit there and read the mantra for an hour. That's not what they're having you on for. They're having you on because you're somewhat entertaining. I don't care what you talk about. When it's time to be on message, try to be on message. When it's time to bring it back home, bring it back home. If you need help, ask for help. You know, if you're not responding to someone, a lot of times you have these, very strong personalities that make good entertainers, for lack of a better word. There's a lot of this stuff that is just entertaining. And yeah, entertainers are all political. It's just whether or not they take their politics seriously. And I assume that anyone pro-white is looking to take their politics very seriously. There's nothing more serious than being on message. Because if you're not on message, and you can't stick on message, something's going wrong. You're either not taking politics seriously, or there's a learning curve here. That's understandable either way. I've seen it. But at the same time, you know, it takes some amount of effort and some amount of discourse to be able to help a person. Basically, this person just has to go through a few things. That's all there is to it. But this is the end of a Follow the White Rabbit, another Follow the White Rabbit. Certainly interesting discussion. Hopefully I've added some new things and flavor to you guys, but these are just called growing pains. And it's nothing I'm afraid of, because I've seen it all before. Bob didn't have any experience with what was going on when Truck Roy first came on. Bob was just happy to have another Bugser willing to talk. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle. A lot of people complain. There's always a type that wants to complain about anyone new. They're like a small group. They want to keep the group small. They want to complain about anyone new that's not just like them. Well, there's a lot of these dissidents like that. Whatever. I'm for bringing in whoever, teaching them how to get back on message or whatever I need to help them with, and put them off on another site, like Truck Roy. I don't have to worry about him being on message or worry about him seeding the word anti-white. He says that word anti-white more than anyone probably listening has. He's on a radio an hour a day. Is that opportunity. But at the same time, he's got to talk about all kinds of stuff. You got to learn to do that. Got to learn to bring it home and when to shut up and when you have to answer a question and when you don't. You know, it's part of a learning curve. But it's nothing to start buckling over. And there's going to be some different wild groups that grab our stuff and do this and that. Why am I not concerned about some crazy National Socialist group or a bunch of hard-headed people that want to mess with the message and not take any instructions? Let me explain this to you. Activists aren't around for very long. There's some very good Bugsers that aren't near as active as they were because they can't afford to be. They're active. They're great Bugsers. I'd hire them in a second to be writers and whatnot. But they go in cycles. So if you're worried about, they ain't going to be around long enough. We got more longevity than any of these people. That's why I'm not worried about it. And we can all bring it back home. You know, if there's someone's out there doing something stupid, you know, and you're worried about a Bugser, get out there and hold up a sign. hold up a Bob Whitaker special right next to him. You can always do that if you're worried about the KKK getting there. You can't worry about that. Can't worry about these guys, because under the model we're under, anyone can get it and do that. We have to have strong enough personalities to bring it home. And you have to understand, this is stuff that I've seen. The stuff with Jimmy Carter is stuff that I've seen before. You're just either going to work it through or you're just going to go to war. And these strong personalities will start getting under each other's skin and trying to go to war. That's welcome to dissonant circles. I would say strong dissonants shouldn't be on each other's side. Put them on his own side. You know, having two hard-headed people, and all dissidents are hard-headed, that's a compliment, that's not a criticism, can't be on the same side. You can't have too many coaches in the kitchen, you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen, that stuff doesn't work. Let them out there, and you know, there's effective criticism and ineffective criticism, and there's a learning curve. Worrying about, there's been tons of opportunities that various different parties have probably every single day. Dissidents always kick themselves over spoiled opportunities. We all do. oh, I should have said this, I should have said that, and that's fine. Bob will do this, eat himself alive over, well, I probably should have done this, or maybe I should have done this 7 years ago, something like that, to get out the message, so on and so forth, etc. You can sit here and kick yourself over and over again, or you can just go on. The big thing with the message is getting it out there, trying to get it seeded. Once we seed it, we can go top down and blast the thing. We got to have a major media outlet to do that. You got that now. One of the biggest online, several of the biggest. The big thing now is longevity. You're going to outlast any of those activists trying that silly shit. I don't care whether it's the KKK trying to spin it this way or whatever they're doing, whatever you guys are concerned about. You're not. And there's going to be, if you think you've heard Wild, you haven't heard Wild. White genocide is a massive conspiracy. Whether you like it or not, it's been unleashed. You want a public discussion. I know how you can get one, because I know how it happened with global warming as a hoax. And once it's seeded, you don't know what's going to happen. Hey, all we can do is hope to have strong enough personalities, and we don't need that many. We don't need thousands. You don't even need hundreds. Look what's only a handful has done. You need a handful that can bring it back home. Bring it back home. But the last thing you want to do is spoil some opportunity by going on a diatribe about Lutheran charities when you should just be talking about end it as simple anti-white. Cast the broadest net and you'll catch the most fish. Catch all the anti-white fish. I'm not interested in one or two or certain types of group or just Lutherans or just Jews. We want all the traitors, whatever. All the pink rabbits, as we say. But this is H. Avenger. I went on and on long enough. Listen to this one a couple times because I probably said some new things in it. But typically people only take away from the conversation what fulfills a need. And typically the need you're going to be fulfilling is giving them something to say when called a racist and seeding a meme. The only thing they're going to remember in complicated discussions, I don't care what you're talking about, they're not going to remember all the complicated shit about global warming. The only thing they remember is the only thing I remember. Global warming is a hoax. And this is a fact. This fact is indisputable. Don't start worrying about fighting everyone's psychology. It that's all they remember. Period. The idea was to seed the memes and then to have strong enough personalities to bring it back home if that's even needed. If that's even needed. But yes, the discussion is going to get pretty wild because of the nature and the broad. I mean, this affects everyone white on planet Earth. It's pretty big. You know, you say Bob Whitaker does, you know, you can accuse Bob Whitaker of a lot of things, but he doesn't think small. It's very big. And that's the way it's going to work. And don't worry about someone running away with it because they're probably not going to last long enough. That's one of the problems. One of the challenges for activists. We have a certain amount of longevity because of the different sites out there and the different structures and the different elements in it. The ideal, and when you have a strong personality like a Chuck Roy or like a Jimmy Maher, is to stick with them long enough so they can learn a few things, so they can develop their own style. And develop their own particular way of going about this. Many of the older Bugsers had that opportunity for several years under Bob. And Bob, you know, is used to beating people up and having to take a break for 2 weeks because he had to verbally beat someone up for making mistakes. So what we're seeing now is nothing. Nothing compared to what we've seen in the past. But it's certainly, it's just another growing pain. It is what it is. I've seen it all before. But this is H. Avenger. This is another Follow the White Rabbit, exclusive to WhiteRabbitRadio.net. WhiteRabbitRadio.net.